I am.
Yeah.
Hi, Kathy, you on?
I am. I'm here.
Ah, good. You're the only one.
Okay. Now, oh, so Jay and Donna.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am at a campground, so I'm outside. I should have good signal, but it's going to be intermittent. But if I drop off, I will call right back.
Okay. Kathy, according to the governor's emergency order, we are allowed to communicate not only electronically, but you can use smoke signals as well.
Oh, well, that's good. I'll have Kevin start a fire right now.
Excellent.
One for yes, two for no.
All right.
Morning, Paula. Morning, Dinah.
Good morning.
Did everybody get their coffee and cinnamon buns?
Okay.
Give it a few minutes here. I guess people are taking longer to wake up.
Yeah. So Dean Lambert may be trying to join the call. He asked for the number, so we may want to address him at the beginning of the meeting if he would like, just so he's not on the call for the whole length.
Okay. Is he number 7? Bill Yaska?
He said yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Got it right here. Yep. Have you seen this, Kelly? I'm just going to share this application with Kelly. And have you seen the one for 9 Reinhardt?
Yes.
You have? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you want to.
He may call in Peter.
Okay.
For that. He just wanted to make sure that he had everything done properly.
Yep.
So...
Just a couple more minutes here. There we go.
Morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
Hi, Ralph.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you. It is a good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I didn't have anything to
do. Yeah. Yeah, get another one. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Okay, I think we'll get the ball rolling.
Oh, Chris?
He did say he was gonna call in. Do we have Chris on?
No, not yet.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 9:04. And Kathy, I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Yep.
Do you want to add that gentleman's name to the agenda?
It's Dean Lambert. Yeah, Dean
okay.
Lambert.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Sorry, I've got two different phones that have two different times. Am I early or late?
No, yes, we just started.
Just started. You're right on time.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. And so I just added, we amended the agenda to include Dean Lambert, if he does call in, to speak about a driveway application that he has. So we have a seconded.
It's a water hookup.
Dean Lambert, water hookup. He's strictly the water hookup.
Right. Okay. So we have a second on that to amend the agenda to add Dean. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And Chris, we're going to jump right to you. So take it. You get the microphone.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Chris Albert from Jones & Beach Engineers. Quick updates as far as work progressing. We had SW Cole out, I believe, on Tuesday morning, conducted a geotech compaction test on the stone slab for the proposed DN Tanks building, which passed. Talking with DN Tanks, they will actually be mobilizing next Wednesday, the 24th, to start work. The building slab is getting worked on. They get poured. The pipes are in around the building. That work will take place the next couple of days. And Dawson actually got 400 feet of pipe the last couple of days. So they did have some tricky, pretty hard ledge that had to get hammered just past the intersection with Ryan Ike Road on Burstenstock, but they're past that. I think the next couple of days on Aspen, they'll be down by the old waterline crossing coming up through. So he's figuring the next probably couple of weeks they'll actually be done with waterline, and they'll be working on the PRV pits and the building. But things, I think that we're getting through the worst of it. Well, I shouldn't say that. They are going to have to do some blasting of ledge coming up Ryan Ike. He's just trying to schedule that with his blaster. And we'll make sure we get enough notice out. He's probably going to have to do a few, you know, pre-blast surveys on those two houses on the way up the hill. And we'll keep the district and the homeowners apprised in that time frame. I did send you guys a quick. I went through our scope of services, and I realized after, you know, talking with Rick Skorenka, we never really gave you a proposal for doing the record drawings. So I sent that over to you this morning. And then our timing, I'm kind of putting more time than I thought. You know, the whole project kind of dragged out a lot with Rick Skorenka going back and forth on the design. So I think budget-wise, we're still pretty good, but I've asked for a contract amendment for doing the record drawings and some more, you know, time as far as construction inspections. I had already put in $7,000 for construction inspections, and I think just with the district, you know, we want to make sure there's more time spent to keep the district and the commissioners happy. I guess that's really all I have. I'll take it up to questions, I guess, from the public and the commission.
Before you do, Chris, who just joined the meeting with the last digits of 8488, please?
What was it?
Who just entered the phone, the conference call with the 8488 for the phone number?
Last four numbers, 8488. Can you identify yourself? You don't have to, but okay. Thank you. So anyhow, Chris, thank you for the update. And as far as the O&M, is that the operations and maintenance manual?
Yep, and it's also something that Rick had talked about as far as doing the asset management on the building, the O&M manual, and then the record drawings. I didn't realize when I gave you the original contracts, we never included that in the scope. And looking back on some of Rick's correspondences, that's something he had wanted. Usually we do. I just I think the project's kind of moving faster than we thought. So, I wanted to make sure we had that included in the scope. And, you know, I went over the overall budget. I mean, with the geotech design, electrical, all the survey work, that puts the engineering portion of the project at around $50,000. And so, you know, you're looking at $1 million construction project. So we're still at 5%. So we're still in a really good design portion. I mean, most engineers would probably be up around 10 to 15%. So I think, you know, from a bigger scope, I think, if Larry's on the phone, he can kind of chime in. I don't think a 5% engineering cost on $1 million project's too bad. But again, that's how I see the numbers at this point.
Yeah, as far as the records or the drawings themselves, I know I had sent a question a while back as to what platform software you're using, and I think you'd mentioned ArcGIS.
Well, and we have both. We have both AutoCAD. Now, the drawings themselves that you see on paper are AutoCAD-driven drawings, but we also do have GIS compatibility, so we can take that and take those out as shape files. And you know, because, again, I think the next thing we want to do is after this project's done is kind of work with the district and look at the overall watershed mapping, hydraulic mapping for the entire district.
Yeah, what was the what would be the deliverable if we did not account for this record keeping as far as the drawings are concerned? What would we have been handed at the end of the project with regards to drawings?
Well, that's what I think I missed that. I should have included that originally, but going through all the different contracts, I never actually gave you one, and that's when I started. You know, you and I had talked about the record drawings with Dawson's responsible to give you a red line markup, and then what
right.
we would do, we would take that red line markup. So it's drafting time really of taking those red line markups and producing record drawings for you. But then we didn't really have an O&M manual. So all the information from DN Tanks and all the information from Dawson's for the building, you know, what heater they used and all that, that would all get compiled into an operation and maintenance manual. Like say for a light bulb, that, you know, here's Joe's light bulb. It's going to last with the asset management. You know, that light bulb is going to last 5 years. It's an X model light bulb. It's going to cost $50 to replace. So, you know, we put together, that's kind of a simplified version, but we put together, and DES has a nice Excel asset management spreadsheet that we work with. So that way everyone's doing the kind of the same type of asset management program for these projects. And I think, it's a lot of it that the project's moving, you know, pretty fast. I think Dawson's ahead of schedule. DN Tanks is probably, I think they were supposed to start June 1st, so they're 3 weeks behind schedule, but, you know, their end date was also the middle of August, so it's not like we're getting into any, you know, bad weather conditions, which is great.
Okay. And as far as the operations and maintenance manual, so that was left out of the contract as well, right?
Yeah, I, for some reason, I never even included that in my original scope. Looking back at what we had done, we're up to contract 6, so this is kind of an evolving scope from our end because things kind of grew from the original design to the entire Ryanite pressure zone design and then, you know, the ledge probes. So it's, you know, the LIDAR mapping, which was a great asset that was contract 3. So, again, now we've given you guys a great, you know, LIDAR map for the entire district. And we've kind of worked together with Ian and your existing drawings and given you kind of an updated distribution plan. My surveyor didn't do too well last week when we were up there with the fog. I'm trying to locate the ledge probe. So I've got another guy coming up probably next week, and what I want to have him do is, you know, we're going to locate the ledge probes, and then I'm probably going to have him start doing with the time he has and the budget is to start locating some of the gate valves and other key infrastructure stuff that Ian has, so we can start getting that kind of mapped at a better format than just, you know, kind of copying and pasting over time, does lead to error. So I want to make sure we key down, we actually locate with a GIS, GPS software, with satellites, to actually start locating things and kind of firm up, the district mapping to kind of lead into, kind of a better watershed model. Because we use EPA Net, which is kind of a free software, but, you know, that way in the future we can do a hydraulic modeling of the entire district and, you know, kind of work with what Paul Fluitt had at one point and kind of build off of that. Because, again, watershed modeling is always kind of a building process. Anytime you do extensions or do more work, you need to make sure that kind of gets put back into software. So whether it's Jones and Beach or Du Bois King or another firm, you know, we want to make sure whatever format we do is going to be, you know, usable to people in the future.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why I was asking the question about what platforms of software you use for this mapping. As far as the, I know there was a gate valve put in down on Salins to basically end the Reinhardt pressure zone. So when that was installed a few weeks ago, so did anybody take a snapshot using GPS to get that exact location before it was buried?
No, well, the gate valves are always accessible because you have a riser on it with the shutoff.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So what it'll do is Andy, his his foreman is getting ties for all that, and that's what we'll take off and put back. So when, you know, when we're all done, we'll have a record drawing. We don't do tie cards anymore. What I usually do now is I put the actual ties on the drawing. So at 3
yeah.
o'clock in the morning, you know, when there's something that breaks and, Ian or whoever's got to go out and find it can take the drawings and pull ties off to the building corner, whether it's under a foot of snow or a foot of gravel, they'll be able to find it again.
Okay.
We're also going to be shooting those two. Also, just from a hydraulic standpoint, we want to know elevations and where that pressure gradient is ending. So you've got two different kind of things going on right there.
So that's where the LIDAR mapping would come in and help with your elevations?
Well, the LIDAR mapping is kind of a base format. That was something NOAA put together. So we took those little shape files that looks like a moon. It looks like you're actually looking at the moon. And we had to convert those over to actual 2-foot contours. And they're pretty accurate. I mean, it's probably the best ground, best type of data you can get without actually putting boots on the ground. Because I don't think the district can really afford to have aerial topography flown. I mean, it would probably cost $100,000 to have that done. That's not really warranted. I think the LIDAR is a good base map, but then you actually want to come out with a GIS, GPS survey and kind of ground truth a few of those spots. And that's
okay.
The key. You know, we want to shoot, you know, eventually we want to shoot all the key gate valves through the district and actually hone in on those vertical elevations.
All right. And so this contract number 6, this isn't an amendment to the contract number 6. This is actually a new contract. Is that correct?
Yes, a new contract 6 that does the O&M manual and then adds more time. I'm looking at my... Right now, like I said, I had $7,000 for inspection services, and I mean we're up to 2,200, so we're not bad. But I think the project's going to need more of my time, you know, as far as what, you know, listening to the commissioners in the district, it's going to need more of my time, and I've got other projects up in your area that really haven't come to fruition yet. So and when I do come up, I only charge travel one way, so you know,
yep.
It's an hour and a half ride, but I usually try to get up there by 8, but when I that hour and a half travel that I do in the morning, I'm not billing for that time, you know, I'm kind of eating that time, you know, except for mileage, of course, but you know, I'm not here to get rich off the district, by no means. I want to do a good job for you guys and keep our costs, you know, reasonable.
Okay. Kathy, do you have any questions? Kathy?
No, I put you on mute, sorry. So the part of this additional work with the LIDAR mapping, that was something that the district agreed to do sort of after the fact. So to sort of piggyback onto that.
Actually, the LIDAR mapping was done. That was done under contract 3.
Okay.
So that was the LIDAR mapping was a $3,000 item that was done on a contract 3, and that was really just to take those shape files and have an engineer sitting there for hours and hours, and it was a lot of it. Just it's creating huge files. The file that we have for you, it has to be on its own little world. And then we kind of X-ref that into our bigger drawings or smaller drawings just because the file size is so huge. When you think of, you know, 2-foot contours on a district size, it's something that you're a town when you think about it. You're a mini town, so it's a big map. So that was already done under contract 3.
Okay. All right. I knew that we had talked about it after the overall project scope was completed.
Oh yeah, so that's the watershed modeling. That's a different a different component, but that feeds off of the LIDAR mapping. That's when we actually have to use EPA Net software and run the hydraulic grade lines and create nodes And then it gives you the hydraulic grade lines. And again, it's some of that stuff that was done by Paul Fluid, but a lot of their mapping is quite, 8 to 10 years, 15 years old. So we would use, their base mapping as a start, but then we'd have to re-plug everything back into the computers again.
Okay.
All right.
That's the only question I had. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Chris, do you mind if I have any other questions during the week, can I reach out to you and Kathy as well through the office administrator, Donna? We'll probably be better prepared to address this and sign off on it next week, if that's okay. I know it just came in this morning at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So is that okay?
It's fine. Yep. Oh, yeah. It's not going anywhere.
All right.
I'll be up. I'm scheduled to come back up next Wednesday. I was there, Tuesday for the tech. And like I said, I'm trying to get up at least once a week, if not twice a week. Really hit milestones. So, I want to be up Wednesday for when DN Tank mobilizes. But I also need to come back up when the walls are getting poured for structural rebar inspections on the building itself. So depending on how those two fit, trying to coordinate everybody, trying to minimize my time, but also try to maximize my time to get the best bang for my buck for you guys, what milestones are happening.
Yep. Okay. Hey, Chris, while we have you on the line, we did get a request driveway application for that lot that was sold just directly across from the tank, number 9 Reinhardt. And
yep.
While you're on the phone, I want to be able to tap your brain to see if we go ahead and approve that driveway application. Sounds like the owner of the property would like to get construction started. I'm not sure when. Soon?
Okay. He can't get a building permit until he gets the driveway permit.
So how is that going to work with the tank construction? I don't want, either one to be hindered by the other. I guess my question is, how can that be managed? How can it be?
Yeah, I don't think I don't know what his actual construction schedule is. I think that's something we would probably need to know from him. He should be able to drive right by the ramp going up to where DN Tanks is working. And drive into his piece. If the driveway that Dawson's has kind of created is going to be his permanent driveway, I assume. So what we had talked about with the Reinike loop is, again, so that the commission and the residents know, is when we come out of the building with the new 4-inch line to feed Reinike, we're going to install a 4x2T and a 2-inch T, and it's my impression from talking with the district that he would be responsible for taking that 2-inch line past his property line, and we would bring a service into him, and then eventually that 2-inch line would go all the way around the Reinike circle, and as Dawson's heading down the hill, we'll leave a 4x2T there now to get that in. So you'd have a loop up there for those lots. And again, eventually that would have to be changed over from a class 6 to a class 5. That's something that you guys would have to deal on your own. So I guess is it something that he's responsible, I'm assuming he's responsible to pay for that additional work, correct?
That would be correct. Anything to extend the water main beyond where it will currently be, even on that class 6 road, would be the property owner's responsibility.
Yep. So what Jake and I looked at it, and I think what we want to try to do is, I don't like having dead ends, so I think what we're going to have is that 2-inch line end at his property line and have his 3/4-inch service or 1-inch service, whatever, come right near the end of that, so that way we don't have stagnant water kind of building up at that end. We talked about maybe putting a blow off hydrant there, but I don't think we really need to start spending you know, $3,000 or $4,000 at that extent.
Right. Okay, because I was going to ask that. I believe he has, it looks to be like a double lot that was purchased. So to run that water line to the end, farthest end of his lot is considerable length. But, yeah, if you were to tap off early on that 2-inch, then you've got a dead end that's going to have stagnant water. And that's what I was going to get to. But so you answered that for me, tapping in at the far end of that pipe. So that's good. Okay.
Yep.
Oh,
so when you're done.
Yep. So we also have Ian has just joined the call as well.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Dean has.
Yes.
Okay. And hang on, Dean. We'll get to you in just a minute. We're just finishing up a conversation with our engineer, Chris Albert. So, Kathy,
okay.
You have any other questions? Because I know Kathy and I need to decide whether to – did we actually get a water line application from that property owner?
Not yet. He needed the driveway permit first for the building.
Yep. Okay.
So that's what he's doing.
All right. So you think that if we need to actually inquire as to what his building schedule is, Chris?
I think it would be good to know just so there's no surprises.
Yeah.
I think there's enough room to get, through in front of the new building and the old building and but I just think it'd be important for DN Tank as another contractor coming up there to work that he knows somebody's driving by his site because again DN Tank they're pretty strict on security COVID-19 and all that stuff so they want to make sure their safety is being upheld to their requirements.
Yeah. And with three contractors possibly working in that area at the same time, you'll have Dawson doing the pump house, DN Tank doing the tank, and then this homeowner having additional workers on his site. I'm just worried about the amount of parking. They can always park on that Class 6 section of road.
Yep.
So,
yeah, well, right now the parking seems pretty good. There's enough room between where the gate is and the first house.
Yep.
We can park cars on both sides of the Ryanek Road. So, I mean, it's pretty good about getting. You could probably get at least 10 cars up there.
Okay. All right. Do you know from your experience how many workers usually come on site with the DN Tank project?
Oh, probably 4 to 5.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more than that. Okay, that's good.
Especially not with this size of a tank. I just did with them in Atkinson, there was probably, like I said, 5 guys on site at one time.
Okay.
Give or take what trades are working, with DN Tanks at that time.
All right. Okay. Kathy, you have any other questions for Chris?
Nope. I just think for the 9 Reinhardt, so he's just looking for his driveway application approval and construction this spring. He's not looking to put his house up there yet, is he?
Well, we don't know that. He wants to get his building permit, and once he has his permit, he could tell us what his schedule might be, hopefully, so that we don't have any interference with either his construction or the construction going on at the tank site.
Right. So he's really just planning on the driveway right now as far as we know.
Yeah, he's just looking to get his permit.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I guess that's all we got for you, Chris.
I got stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kelly. Kelly.
Larry Sinano.
Oh, Larry Sinano just joined. Go ahead, Kelly. Hang on, Chris.
Morning, Chris.
Yep. Morning, Kelly.
As I spoke with you and I spoke with Dawson, I got a request from Dawson to treat for the dust control yesterday, which we did. Dawson had a good idea, and I agree with him that rather than contracting outside, we can do some inside work and save money and also maybe use that money that we're saving towards more road improvements. And that's where I'm going to go with this. We're also talking about maybe when the gravel portions of the project are done that I would have my guys go in and do the final grading and charge that to Dawson because he would have to pay someone else anyway. I think that's a great idea. I agree with that wholeheartedly. We can put the roads back the way we want them so that we're satisfied and everyone's satisfied. The key to it is, Chris, that the money we save, I would like to see that money go back to road improvement, not to water improvement. And the way, when I spoke with you, you kind of said there was a way of doing that, that the we have money that we can put towards. The idea I have in my head, Chris, is that if we completely overlay all this work, the entire right side of Idlewise Drive is in really good shape. If we address the asphalt and now we're doing the water, I'm going to take care of the culverts. We have two culverts I'm going to speak with you about that are in bad shape. But the other ones, if I do that with my crew, the money saved, I would really like to see go back to overlaying that road. I think that's a key to completing this project. I think the homeowners and the entire district would really like to see that a complete project. So if there's some way these money savings that I can help the project with can go back to my roads, that would be the key to making this all happen. As far as billing on this, I'm talking with Allstate, who typically does calcium treatments. I'm finding out how he would address and charging such a thing and either take his guidance or we can do truck rental and plus calcium costs. I haven't come up with that yet. I'm sure it'll be much cheaper than having an outside contractor come in and doing it for Dawson. And we're on site. And we went up again today and we washed down some asphalt for him that was dusty. And it's not a problem for me at all, but the compensation factor is where I'd like to see go back to roads. And I'd like to see how you feel about that.
No, like we talked the other day, I think it's a good win-win when any time I can get a, you know, a road agent for a municipality or like you, like a district that wants to work with a contractor and try to think outside the box. I mean, I don't really have my hands tied as part of a DES funded project. I mean, it's a 24% match based on the two contracts we have. You know, you've got contingency money and other money out there, plus the contracts we do have. So again, my hands aren't tied. Again, I work for the district, so it's a matter of kind of a meeting of the minds, Jay, with you taking the lead and you know, getting the residents a better product is always our goal.
I'd like to, whether you can get an estimate for the overlay or I can use my paving company and get an estimate and actually have that money appropriated in the contingency so it sits there and is available so it doesn't go somewhere else. I know you're going to come up against other things that are going to require contingency money, but if we had a final number that we could keep kind of locked in there, I think it'd feel better.
Yeah, I think we could, you know, maybe when I'm up there next week, you and I can measure the areas you want and let's get that number formulated and get a price from Allstate and maybe get them on the 50-yard line, I guess.
Yeah.
Again, this is all, you know, based on, you know, Jay and the district, but I want to get through that heavy section of the first part of Ryan Ike, you know, that black thing and getting that done. And, you know, once I'm behind that number, then I know we're kind of, hate to use the word home free, but again, we're not going to spend $100,000 on ledge anyway, but you know, if it's, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 more, it's still not going to change the bigger scope of what we have out there for you to use. And I think, you know, in the bigger picture, you know, the residents and everyone's going to get a better product out of it. It's nice to go into a project where you know your hands aren't tied, which is nice, you know, both regulatory-wise and money-wise.
I in the back of my head, I just don't want to save money for it to be used on things that should have been accounted for anyway. I don't want to put the effort for thinking I'm going to get something out of it, and I'm about roads, you know, so if I can get my roads back and make them plowable and safe, we can walk away from that whole area with it in good shape. It would be a good end result.
Yep. No, exactly. And again, it's something where, you know, we've got the troops there now. Now is the time to do it. It's, you know, also, you know, get everybody in the right mindset.
No, I agree. I'll work with the commissioners and see how they want to go about the cost and exactly what we're going to charge Dawson's. You know, it'll still be cheaper and more accessible than it would going outside.
Yeah.
So I'll work with the commissioners on that, and we'll come up with a number.
Okay.
Great. All right. Anything else, Kelly?
Well, as far as that driveway permit, I know Dawson has been in contact with the homeowner. Dawson's actually using his property as kind of a staging area. So the driveway entrance has been made, and Dawson doesn't have a problem with any of it. It'd be the tank people, whether they can allow people in. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a go. That's all I got.
All right. Kathy, anything else for Chris? Kathy?
Sorry, I'm sorry. They're doing excavation work here, so I keep putting you on mute, but I am listening to everything.
All right.
No, I think that's a great idea. I appreciate Kelly, again, thinking outside the box, as Chris mentioned. And when you're talking about the road, is it you're looking at Bristenstock or primarily Idlewise?
I'm looking at all of Bristenstock and a portion of Aspen. I'd like to continue the Aspen asphalt right down to Appenvale to make it a complete turn.
Okay.
Even if that's outside the scope of this project, then we do have our own budget that maybe we could add to complete the project. That would be ideal. But I'm looking for everyone that they cut into to be a complete project with an overlay.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard you mention Idlewise, and I didn't know if you were thinking Bristenstock as a whole separate thing, but to include them both in your thought process is perfect.
No, Idlewise is, like we talked about at a town meeting, that's going to be on hold until we do a much larger project.
Yeah, you had said the right side of Idlewise Drive was still intact. I think you meant Bristenstock.
The village on the right side. We, as a plow guy, we break our village up into four sections, and we always say right side of Idlewise, which means the whole area right of Idlewise Drive.
Yeah.
All the roads on Idlewise. That whole side, say south of Idlewise Drive, will be in good shape.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Not Idlewise Drive itself.
No.
Right.
No. Okay. All right. That's what I heard. I'm glad you clarified. Thank you.
Okay. Chris, I think we can let you go. You have anything else, Chris, for us?
No, not right now. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for joining, Chris. Yes.
This is Diana.
Diana, go ahead.
Thank you.
Questions.
Yeah, hang on, Chris.
I'm here.
I understand that Rick Skarenka did some changes to our request for disbursement.
Yep.
I am wondering if that has been signed and sent in with the corrections.
Yes.
Are we anticipating that $66,000this soon?
Yeah, I think I know there was a question about the routing number. I don't know if that got
We got that fixed.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
the only thing...
They're trying to shut down the shop, so to speak, with their audit, so I think they can't have money move back and forth, so I'm sure they're going to try to push to get that out just so they can kind of close the doors.
This is the new amount.
Yeah, so we have a new number, Dinah, $66,926.28.
Yes, that was the original number. It was just sort of calculated.
No, it was slightly different than that.
Yeah, $100. I got it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think that the big thing that, and I don't want to kind of put Rick on the spot, but when you look at what he did for he used contract one and contract two as the total project cost, and that's fine with me. I'm not going to really say anything. But when you look at the original loan grant agreement, it included the engineering contingency contract 1 and 2. So you're
I noticed that too, Chris, that he's looking at 24% of just those two numbers added, where it would have originally was 24% of that whole 1.249.
Right. So we're actually getting more money percentage-wise, which is good for us.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
I have a question about, you talked about blasting on Reinhardt Place and the existing homes. That blasting isn't going to hurt our existing tanks, is it?
No, it's down below at the bottom of the hill.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, if they had to do anything, actually, that whole area was blasted when they brought the water line up the hill a couple of years ago. Ian's there. We found all blasting cords and everything in front of the old building, or the building and tank now. So I don't think they've got to do any new blasting in the front. But again, it's the same pre-blast survey that they would be required to do for the existing tank as if it's a house.
Okay, thank you very much. I just have one last question. Is our water operator, Ian Hayes, subcontracting from Dawson?
I don't know. Is Ian here?
No, Ian's
not on the call.
Yeah.
No. I believe during the bid awarding meeting, which was a public meeting, I had asked the question if anyone on the call was associated with any of the work that was to be done, and Ian did speak up and say that he was asked to be a subcontractor to both Dawson as well as G.W. Brooks.
Okay, so I guess that's my answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Chris before he goes back to work? Okay, great. Chris, we'll let you go. And again, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Enjoy the weekend coming up. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Okay. We're going to move right on to the DPW report. We have Kelly Robitel here, DPW foreman. Kelly, you got the mic.
Let's start right off with some driveway permits that came up. I have three, not counting the top of Reinach. I haven't actually seen the paperwork on that yet, I don't believe, but I can do that one.
I don't have the permit paid yet. He just wanted to make sure that
okay. It
was filled out properly. So
I got one for 7 Little Loop. They want to pave their existing driveway. No problem with that. We're going to go in there today and remove a stump of a tree that had been cut, that we cut, so that when they pave it, we won't be pulling the stump after the pavement, so it won't damage that new pavement. I stipulated on it that the asphalt needs to tilt away from the road. That won't be a problem. Do you want to go one by one, Jay?
Yep.
Well, that's that one.
So this is okay?
Yep.
All right. So I'll go with Kathy. Do you want to make a motion, or I'll make a motion that we approve the driveway inspection report for paving number 7, Little Loop Road?
I'll make that motion to accept the driveway application for 7 Little Loop Road.
Okay, I'll second the motion. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That one's good.
The second one is for Nick Borelli's property, which we talked about last week in length. He sent along a very good drawing of what he's doing. I agree with everything he's trying to do. And my recommendation is to construct as per the drawing.
Okay. Kathy, I'll make a motion to approve the driveway installation at number 4, Lakeview Drive, for Mr. Nick Borelli. Kathy, I'm just wondering, have you seen this Just look out the window.
I believe I have seen some work being done there, yes.
<My courage>.
So I'll second that motion.
Okay, any discussion on Nick's driveway? Okay, hearing
nope.
None. I say yes.
I will say yes.
Okay. Wow, we're flying here.
Yeah, the third one we're not going to fly on. This is 19 East Bergamo Road. And we talked about this last year. Jay, you might remember it. At the very end of East Bergamo Road, where the Class 5 meets Class 6.
Yep, I know the lot.
This property is past the Class 5. It's on the Class 6 portion. The problem is the Class 6 portion is basically a trail. It's a walking path. It's not wide enough for a vehicle at this point. For them to access their lot, they're going to have to improve the Class 6 portion, which we don't have a skip space on. It's up to them. But where we get in trouble is we're not going to have anywhere to plow the snow. So it's
right.
A dead-end road with no turnaround. We generally, just like with your property, Kathy, she snows straight up.
Yep.
If we lose that access to snow removal, we don't have an option in that spot. So when we talked about it last year, we were talking about maybe pushing it past your property. But we didn't have an answer to it, and I think you were going to go look at it.
Yeah, I know the property very well. I walk the trail often. Yeah, I know it's bony on either side of where the ditch lines used to be. And I think what you're experiencing now is that you push the snow just beyond that last house on the left with that funny roof line.
Yeah.
And then you're able to back into that driveway possibly and then turn around. There's no ability to do that with this new application. Unless something is created.
Right.
Kathy, have you ever gone and seen this property?
No, I have not. I don't recall this from last year, but if he has to improve the road at least to his driveway, correct, in order for him to physically get in and out of that driveway?
He just has to gain access, whatever it takes. He doesn't have to make it any particular width. Or and maintain them in any particular way. He just has to gain his own access.
See,
is he
going to
be adding? Jay, is he going to be adding? Is this a brand new house or an existing house?
It's going to be a brand new construction. Yeah.
So where's the water line going to go?
So he's going to have to also extend the water line because the water line is on a bleeder valve, which ends at the house at number 15. Was it 15?
Right.
Connor, I think.
So
I
13.
There's part of the water, but if the water ordinance, if he has to extend the water line, and I think we talked about this with 9 Reinhardt, if the water line's being extended on the Class 6 road, isn't he responsible for bringing the road up to a certain level of standard?
That is correct, but what if he decides to drill a well?
Okay, maybe we should find that out, because if he's got he may have to upgrade that road beyond just making it passable.
Yes. Yeah, and he would have to upgrade that road to the end of his property, the furthest point to his property.
Yes.
Now, the district would still plow to the end of the Class 5 and basically leave a very large mound of snow for his private plow company or himself or herself to plow through to get further up that Class 6 and then into their driveway. Yeah, is that...
We're not allowed to use anything in the interest.
And now we're going to have that exact same scenario on 9 Reinhardt.
Reinhardt, I have somewhere to put the snow. I could push it to the left.
Yeah.
Or to the right. I have an option.
We have a turnaround at Reinhardt where the pump station is now.
It's kind of like the same thing we ran into on the Granville extension that we almost took over, that we would have no way of pushing the snow to an end and then have egress back out.
Right.
The only option is to
make this an extension of the Class 5 road and pass his house to put to have somewhere to put the snow. Then we'd be liable for plowing it, which really isn't a big deal because it's only one house lot up, I believe, or maybe two. But that changes the whole scenario of the whole thing.
Right. So I guess my line of questioning right now would be to reach out to this applicant and ask if they are going to also install a water line. If so, that changes the scope where they would have to then bring the road up to a certain level of acceptance. And then that may be able to give us the ability to go ahead and have Kelly have a place to put snow and hopefully be able to turn around.
Because there's no guideline by the district as to what that Class 5 road should look like. It's basically what we tell them it needs to be, what kind of standard it needs to be brought up to. But I don't think we as a district ever had a written standard for a Class 5 road.
Yeah,
there is. There is a DOT standard okay. That's similar to a DOT standard that's been adopted. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So we can use that as
guidance. About that. Okay.
Yeah.
But we could always go over and above that if we need him to extend it another 30 feet beyond the driveway in order to give us the space to plow effectively.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. But first thing would be to find out if they're going to lay a new water line down, because that will at least dictate what they have to do. And then the details of how that road is to be brought up to a level or a condition will be a discussion that we have to have with the applicant.
Okay. So we should reach out to him through the office.
Yes.
And craft an email asking what the current plan is for water hookup.
Yep.
Before we can make a decision on the driveway.
Right.
Okay.
So
let's
just go back to you.
Okay.
All right.
And can we, out of session, sign the permit?
Yes. So we can sign these, as we've made a motion before for signature items. We can go ahead and sign those two applications just previously approved by us out of session, Kathy. So when you get a chance to come down.
Right. That specific requirement or ability has been in place since middle of March, so we kind of have the right to do it that way.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I can craft a draft email to hang on. Getting kind of noisy here. And then just have you, Jay, review it quickly to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yep. Okay.
East Bergamo. Okay. So I'll start that draft letter to him.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. All right. I'm just looking for – I thought we had the driveway application for number 9.
Yeah, he gave it to Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, Kelly's got it.
Yeah. I haven't.
Okay.
You wanted to have it.
You need to take a look at it, because the one thing that stuck out to me was the width of the opening to his driveway, which comes off at such a slight angle. It's probably going to be 40 feet in width.
75 feet.
Yeah. I didn't understand the map.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah, take a look at it. It didn't jive with me. But just,
I
know that.
I think it's long. 75 feet long.
Right.
He doesn't have a width.
Well, you see how he comes off the Class 6 road with the entrance to his drive?
Yeah.
So that's about, 40 foot. It's twice the width of the road. And the maximum we have per driveway ordinance is 21 feet.
No.
You see that telephone pole he's got identified there, existing telephone pole?
Yeah.
Okay, that is the end of the Class 5.
And he's going right down the edge of it.
Yeah.
But his driveway isn't as wide as the road. It's half of it.
Right.
So he's probably looking at 20 feet.
Okay.
But he has to put that down.
Yeah.
I need a better plan.
Yeah. I was going to say, where is he going to put his snow? We don't want him to put it in our road or even on the class.
He's going to go down his driveway.
Yeah.
when they plow the class section.
Well, I was wondering about where is he going to, is he going to try to open up his driveway entrance by pushing the snow into your pile?
I wish we could take a road like that. We're just doing a house lot extension and increase the length of our class 5 road. We're not going very far. It's a new construction. If he's going to basically be fixing, I mean, we're not far off from having a complete road.
Right, right.
So a case-by-case look at this, and that this case is one for extending the class 5.
Yeah, because when this construction is all done, and I believe the new pump station is going to be actually on the class 6 section.
Yeah.
That road is hopefully going to be as good, if not better, than some of our other gravel roads.
Yeah.
And we may, for legal purposes, want to extend the class 5 to beyond our new pump station.
Yeah. This is one of those.
I
think you, to look at more closely.
Yeah.
While we get the chance.
Yeah. Okay. But do you want to keep that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at it? Okay. Thank you. All right. That's what we got for driveway applications. Very busy, Donna and Kelly.
Yeah. And not to talk, just to bring it up again, what I talked with Chris about is I don't have a problem. I actually think it's a good idea that we get some involvement to help out this project. It's not affecting us time-wise. It's just simple application of calcium. He would have to hire someone to come do it anyway. So, but the key, like I said, is I don't want to be doing this to extend more water line or to do a current or do any of that. I want our road to be fixed. I think with an oversight in the beginning, I think the roads weren't looked at like they should have been. We have a chance here now to get that done as part of this project. So I it's not a hindrance on us. It'll get done the way we want it done. And I have no problem working with Dawson. I think he's a very good contractor. So I'd like to have more conversation about that.
I think there's some good relationships, some benefits that we can each get from each other. You're right. Dawson's did not own a grader. We do with a couple of very experienced operators. And you guys like to have the roads graded a certain way, where other guys that might come in, hired by Dawson, might just go to some other method that they're used to.
Yep.
So, but speaking of the calcium chloride, I'm just going to jump ahead just to put a little bit because we're on that subject. We got a correspondence from the Rock House Mountain Association. They're the what I'll call the old section of Edelweiss, which is in the Conway section. And they have roads similar to ours, steep grades, gravel, and they're having serious concerns about erosion and dust control, as we are. They looked at hiring someone to come out from all states to put down calcium chloride. But the truck that was going to be utilized is not in great shape and would have difficulty doing their roads.
Okay.
So the folks at Rockhouse Mountain through Russ Lanois, Russ actually oversees their road conditions and maintenance, have reached out to the village district knowing that we do have an applicator truck for calcium chloride. And
Kathy, you on the line?
I am, yep. I disconnected and I got right back on.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Just wanted a legal meeting.
Yep, I'm here. Thank you.
So, Kathy, in case you missed any bit of it, Russ Lanois from the Rockhouse Mountain Association has reached out to the district asking if the district could utilize the truck and a driver to apply calcium chloride to their gravel roads. And they would certainly pay for the material, which they got a price on, which is the same price that we get. And obviously something would have to be worked out as far as mileage or time in doing that.
I think, you know, my question or concern, I guess, was with this swapping with Dawson's, we can do that. Kelly can keep track, say, look, you owe me, you know, $8,000 worth of work because I gave you $8,000 worth. So it would be a nice even swap. Is the municipality allowed to bill out their time to a third party? Are we allowed to do that?
That I don't know. And that's the
Are we allowed to receive a check? I mean, could we, if we received a $1,200 check from Rock House Mountain for our services, I just want to make sure that we're legally allowed to do that. I think it's a great idea. I read the whole memo. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but we have to make sure that we're not doing anything outside the scope of what we're legally allowed to do.
Right. And I know that there's called, obviously through the fire department, we have what is called mutual aid, where there's a fire in another town, and other towns go and provide mutual aid to that town. There's also mutual aid between DPW departments as well. And I believe Madison and Edelweiss actually have that already. That's Madison and Edelweiss. But this is an association, and I believe the roads are owned by the association. So this is a private entity. And so I'd like to ask, push this question off to our attorney for guidance on this. I think it is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with it.
Yeah.
Just my thought on it. My perspective is that how I've worked this is, and Allstate is on the same page, is that they would supply us with the calcium. They would restock what we use to do this to help them out. They would restock us, and Rock House would pay for Allstate.
Okay.
So
right. So the bill would be split.
It's not hiding anything. It's just that it's almost like they're borrowing calcium and repaying us for it and giving it back to us. Dave is helping Dave. Some municipalities work, so I know they're not a municipality, but Rock House was born of Edelweiss. I mean, it has the same roots.
Same water system.
Right. Yeah, so I think it'd take us under an hour, minimal fuel, and it's a great erosion control, and the bigger part of it is that they're worried about Big P and the silt and sediment that's going into Big P, and that's how this all got born. It was from the Environmental Committee in Rock House that wanted to address this. We had the same concerns here. I think it'd be a great outreach. And again, if we could do a trade-off in the calcium, even if it's more calcium than, you know, I don't know how it would work, but I think it's a good idea, but it's up to the commission.
Yeah, so I'd like to have this run past, this email run past our attorney, Chris Bolt, as well as Primex. And the reason I ask Primex is because they are the insurance company that insures our vehicles. And since the vehicle is going off site, I'm just wondering, I just want to make sure that we have coverage should there be an accident or something happened to our vehicle when outside the district. That's all.
Okay.
I know
and
our vehicles
maybe
go...
just, so, Jay, maybe some food for thought is if we're getting a delivery of the calcium chloride and a portion of it Rock House will pay for, the other portion is ours. If they paid for all of it and then figured out, you know, if they're paying an extra $1,200, but in kind, we would be applying it for them. I'm just concerned about sending a bill to Rock House Mountain or getting a check from Rock House Mountain for work or services. But if we did it as a courtesy versus as a payment, as a billed payment.
Right. And the other thing is, reading the email, Rock House could actually purchase the calcium chloride themselves with Allstate and have it stored in our tank.
Correct. But we're not billing them for material.
Right. So, there'd be no, we wouldn't bill them for a product that's taken out of our storage tank, right?
Right. Or if they even pay for ours, and then if Rock House paid for a appropriate amount of our calcium chloride, and then that value, if it's $1,200 or $500, then in kind, we would be doing some work by just spreading it on their calcium chloride on their road.
Right. So I'll ask that the, do you want it, Donna? Do you want me to reach out to Chris Bolt?
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Do you want me to reach out to Chris Bolt, Kathy, and ask this question? If it's okay, I'll pass this email along to him. Actually, let me pass the email along to him.
Well, do you want to do it to NHMA first? I can't imagine this is not an uncommon situation.
Yeah, I'll reach out to NHMA. Yeah, I want to get an answer as quickly as possible because it has been very dry. And I fear that when we get our first heavy rain, it's going to create quite a bit of erosion.
Okay.
So, let me reach out to NHMA.
Okay. All right. All right.
And I'll also reach out to Primex, make sure that it's okay with them having our vehicle do a service outside the Village District.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So that checks that one off. Okay, Kelly, what else you got?
That's all I got.
Well, I think you got some more.
No, I don't need more. Please.
Kelly has completed the Little Loop drainage project. Anybody who knows any history of that, you might want to go take a look at what Kelly and his crew have done. It's actually, it came out really nice.
It showed up on Google Maps.
Here you go.
Ooh.
Wow.
I did get a chance to drive by there. It looks awesome. I did go by there a couple days ago, and it looks really nice. It's very, very professional, very aesthetically pleasing. It blends in. Great job. I think that was a long time coming, but I'm glad it's done. It looks great.
Yep. And also, Kelly and his crew completed yesterday the culvert installation and ditching at number 4 Gretchen Drive.
Okay, good,
and,
good.
That actually came out very good as well. So the water will now flow underneath the homeowner's driveway as opposed to pooling when it does rain heavy or the snow melt occurs in the spring. So thank you very much, Kelly.
Oh, I get paid for it.
Yeah, and I just wanted to take a step back on some information that I learned. Of course, I think most everybody knows that Kelly had reached out and procured a contractor to come into the Village District to clean out our trash-filled septic tanks, which we had difficulty, and we were even told that no one would do it. That was at a cost of $3,000 to clean out the four or five?
Well, four.
Four doubles. And it cost of $3,000. So just very briefly, I attended the Madison Selectmen's meeting on Tuesday, and Madison does not have permanent outhouses at their beaches or parks. They rent porta-potties. And they rent annually 9 porta-potties, and they have a budget of $4,500 a year for that rental. This year, the local porta-potty contractors all declined providing the service to Madison for various reasons. And there was one company out of Massachusetts, United, which is a very large company that does this service. They provided a quote of $13,700 to provide the porta potties from now until October. I just want to point out that what Kelly has done has actually resulted in approximately a $10,000 cost savings to the district. And I am looking at Donna because I want Donna to note this in the minutes.
Okay.
Write in the personnel file.
And we'll stick it in his file or somewhere.
We'll stick it somewhere.
But no, a great job. And my hat also goes off to Donna. I know she's been struggling being the sole person in this office.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? It's the pride that gets to them. And she's just been – she's put up with a lot, but you know what? You're getting through it. And we're going to get you help. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean –
the ad went out into the paper today.
Oh, it did? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we got the ad in
the
paper.
The other local paper that you mentioned last week,
yeah,
the cost was –
for just a week's thing was $144. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was too much of a money to spend. Is it all right if I post him on the bulletin boards, the job posting?
Absolutely. But, no, it's been good. Kelly, you and your crew have been doing a great job. I saw you put the calcium chloride down yesterday because the guys, it was getting pretty dusty out there. And so, again, great timing. We got some rain coming up hopefully at the end of this weekend, so that will help pack it down. But, I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
Also, the question with regards to the DPW, have we set up a meeting for number one, Aspen?
Kathy, you still on?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay.
Have we set up a meeting yet for number one, Aspen? They requested that we do an on-site. Am I supposed to write them a letter? Was I supposed to do that?
I believe you were.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm sorry.
All right. We have to get a thing.
We got to get a board to keep track of ourselves. Never mind. Other people. We got a phone message request from the owner at the property at number 33 Upper Lakeview. Kathy, I think you recall this one. There was some new road material put down. So they want to meet with us on Monday. They're going to come up for the weekend, and they'll be here for the Monday. Kathy, do you want to be part of that meeting? Because if so, we'll have to make it a commissioner's meeting.
Okay, sure. I'll be around Monday morning.
Perfect. 8 a.m.? Because that's when I asked. So you reached out to them this morning. They said 8 a.m. would be fine. Are you available at 8?
I can meet you. I can meet you there at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so for the folks on the line, we're going to have a commissioner's meeting at 8 a.m. on Monday morning at 33 Upper Lakeview. And if you could post that on the bulletin boards, Donna. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you want me? Print them up and I can do it as well.
I can do it. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
I'll do it on the website.
Hey.
Okay.
And Dean Lambert is on the line. So
I'm sorry.
If you want
to Dean, thank you very much for waiting.
My phone's about to die, so I'm going to make it quick. I'm in the middle of
okay.
No way.
Dean, I apologize.
Sorry, Dean.
Go ahead, Dean.
All right. I talked to Kathy like last week a couple times, and I was waiting to hear from Ian, your water guy, to see where the sub is to my property at 7 Biasca.
Yep.
Because I'd like to get my water line in. I'm going to have equipment up there. I got to get the stuff moved and my operator up there. I just if it's going to be extended, you have use of my operator. And I'd like to coordinate it with your guy if it has to be extended. But I have not heard back from Ian yet where it goes to. Currently, there are two old water lines sticking out of the ground between 5 and 7, which I think were put in way back whenever. So
yep.
I'm guessing it comes up to that house that's directly across the street, the red one. I'm not sure the number over there. So, if there's
I looked it up on the map, it's 4. So there is a curb stop valve on 4 Biasca. So sort of across from Dean, a little further down the road. I'm going to jump you for 1 second. Hold on.
Yep.
Yeah, there is a curb stop valve. I went up there to see it as well. It's on the they have a circular driveway. It's on the right side of their property if you're facing the house from the street. Yep.
All right. And, directly across are the two property lines where where 5 and 7 meet. And
yes.
It looks like I said, at some point somebody had trenched in. They put in old black PVC water pipe, basically well pipe. I was just wondering if, it's just going to be a cut across the road going up there, or are you going to put a curb stop on that side of the road, on my side?
Well, what we would normally do is require the property owner to run the water line to the end of that, the end of your property, the furthest end of your property. But seeing as your property is the last property in the Village District of Idlewise, it's not like we're going to be feeding anybody else. So I don't see the purpose of doing that.
Okay, so basically it'll cut right across to the curb stop on that side of the road where the circular driveway is.
Correct.
All right. Now I want to share my equipment with my operator. I can call Kathy ahead, let her know what day it's going to be, so that I can cut. If you want to coordinate it with your guy, while my machine's there, we can make the cut right across the road for you and then fill it back in.
I still need this.
Jay, hang on a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your phone's terrible, by the way, Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
No, there's 500 campsites here, and every piece of equipment is working on the lot next to us. So would the district be responsible for going from the water main across the street, across the asphalt, to the curb stop at 7?
No, if it's going directly across the street, it's called a surface link to the curb stop valve from the water main, and that's part of the district's cost.
Okay, so we wouldn't extend the water main. We would just do a service line. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so you want me to... Oh, go ahead.
Do we have the check? We need the check first before we can do anything.
Nope, I'm going to be there tomorrow morning. I can either drop it at Kathy's house in her mailbox, or I can put it in your mailbox down there at the office.
Yep. Okay, down at the mailbox at the office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the mailbox office would be good.
Okay.
We don't have mailboxes at the houses.
Yeah, because I have the old application in there when Nancy was there. So, I mean, if you just want to reuse that, nothing's changed. I've built everything according to the plan. I'll get my equipment and my guy up there, and we'll trench in the pipe. Now, you typically want the end of the trench left open with the pipe just laying coiled with a cap on it, or...
Yep. Coil it up right beside the edge of the road. Yep.
All right. That's my other question is, how close to the edge of the road can I get to leave it open? I mean, because there is a ditch down that side, and I don't want to screw up the ditch by creating a big hole and a water trap in there.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave it open for inspection to make sure that there's a good amount of sand bed, as well as how to be covered with the sand before you go and backfill it. Yep. So when do you plan on having your contractor or your excavator there for this installation?
Well, he works for me, so it's whenever I send him. So it's like I'm potentially, let's see, let me bring up my calendar real quick.
Because I want to make sure the water operator is there as well.
Yes. Right. How deep does that have to be?
6 feet.
6 feet or four?
So six.
All right, 6 feet?
Yep. Yeah.
All the way up or down at that?
Yeah, all the way.
My foundation's only 4 feet.
You may want to come up through the floor, or Ian may have some ideas for you as far as how to insulate it when you come in if you're going through the wall.
All right, because typically we do a wrap on them. But, because I use the one-inch well pipe. Not solid. I use, the ABS, the continuous coil. So,
right.
I mean, I'm assuming you want 1 inch, 3/4. So.
You can use 3/4 or 1 inch.
I like 1 inch.
CCS. Okay.
Yeah, I like the 1 inch better. Even if you got a lower pressure, you got higher volume. So.
Yeah, you get your volume for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I'm looking at 3rd of July. Be in there, probably.
Okay.
That's a holiday for the village.
Yeah, that's village has that day off.
All right, well, let's see. You have the 3rd off, huh?
Yep.
All right.
And I think the 4th, too.
All right, then I'll try to get them up in there for the 2nd. So,
okay.
We'll
just have to make sure Ian's available.
Yeah. So we'll pass that data on to our water operator, Ian, to make sure that he can be there when everything's opened up.
Dawson will be doing it.
Well, either way, I'll just dig the trench, leave it open, and I can come back and fill it in after he looks at it. So.
Right.
So, you know, if I hit any ledge outcroppings or anything at the 4 foot level, I'm probably not going to blast. So I'll probably come over the top of it if I had to.
You can. Well, that'd be up to Ian, but I don't think he likes to have the pipe laid on ledge.
No,
because ledge,
I have to
end yeah.
to end because, you know, ledge is abrasive. But, yeah, I mean, because I do contracting for a living. And
yeah.
It's typically, like, we put most of them at 4, 5 is if we can, you know, just because that is below the frost level. But, yeah, I mean, so far the digging up there has been pretty good. It was ledgy up near the foundation. That's about it. But
yeah.
I don't think there's any outcroppings on the downhill side from the house down. So,
right.
And if we can get around big rocks and stuff, we'll just, you know, get around what we can. That's why I like the flexible well pipe. So, because it'll roll right around things, no problem. So. And your other requirement, what's your requirement for sand? Foot under, foot on top?
I believe it's a foot under, and I forget what it is on top. Ian would have a better idea of what the exact amount of sand on top is. It may be a foot or more.
All right. I mean, if you could have them, is there any way, because I'm going to be up there probably tomorrow and Saturday. I mean, is
yep.
it around tomorrow at all?
What's tomorrow, Friday?
Friday, I know.
I don't think he comes in on Friday, does he?
I have no idea.
Yeah. He may be because of the project that's going on at the top of the hill behind you.
Yeah,
because he did say he didn't stop in every day.
Yeah.
Right, so Donna?
Yeah.
So I reached out to Ian through the office already once, so let me follow up with him to see if he can make it a point to be here sometime tomorrow and get up there to look at the situation and know where the one across the street is, where he wants the curb cut and all of that. So I'll reach out to Ian.
Yeah, tell him, like,
okay.
You know, say around noontime. That would be perfect. That's right in the middle of the day. That way it's, you know, and not rushing them in the morning and holding them up at the end of the day. So.
All right. So as soon as we're done with the meeting, I'll reach out to him again.
Yeah, because I got a bunch of running around I got to do tomorrow. Then I'm going to be up there banging away for a couple days. And then I'll be back down the south end of the state for the beginning of the week again. It's like I'm all over the place. So.
All right, we'll do our best to get him up there for Friday so that we can all be on the same page.
Yeah,
right.
I just want to run over it real quick just so I know what I'm going to need because I want to preload the material because, you know, like, we are, like, super slammed. That's we're on the six-day-a-week plan right now as it is, sometimes 7. So, yeah, that way I can get material in ahead of time and have it there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to see what he's looking for. So
okay.
I'm sure he doesn't want septic sand. He just wants sand. So.
Right. Anything else, Ian?
No, I think that'll do it. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to have to extend up the road, too. But it sounds like I don't have to, so that's good. So.
Yeah,
that's good. All right.
All righty. And I can put barrier in, too, if he wants, just to keep water from filling up anything so before I can get it filled in again. So.
Yeah, if it threatens to fill the ditch, then, yeah, you might want to put a barrier up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll all right. Stop it short and, you know, bring the machine back in when they want to hook up. So. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dean. I'll be in touch.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we talked about Rock House.
Yep.
We have the driveway application number 9. Kelly's going to take a look at that. 14 Aspen Drive. We got a request for water fees owed when the property.
No. That's just, I wanted to show you in
the
minutes
town,
from,
right?
from the town for water bills that's outstanding.
Yeah.
The bill's outstanding for $3,000-something from each year.
Right.
But the town, when they took over it, is only, what is it, 19, it's underlined in the yellow right now.
So
Kathy and me, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, so what we were trying to find out how to protect ourselves on these past due water bills if a property changes ownership. And this particular property owes us the most amount of money. And we did a little digging, and the town of Madison now owns it, so we should not be annually billing them for the water fee. And in their minutes, when they took over the property, they acknowledged that the district was owed $1,900 in past water fees. So if they sell the lot, and if there's enough money left over, that they have already agreed to pay us that $1,900 back.
Yeah.
But because we never had a lien on the property, they don't have to do it. They're doing it as a courtesy more than anything else.
No, I agree with it. That's great.
Yep. So, yeah. So whatever back taxes are owed, and whatever other costs are involved in selling that lot, they'll have to pay themselves first, and then if there's any funds left over, we will get up to that $1,900. So one of the things we're going to do with Catherine is we've got to write that difference off because we kept billing them, but you can't because it was to the town of Madison.
Right.
And then the other thing, right. So we found out, too, is the other properties that the owner still owns them, but they're several years past due, we really should go to small claims and get an attachment on the property so that it doesn't get sold or transferred without us getting paid.
Exactly. And that's why I have it on here. Yep.
Yeah, and we found out small claims court now, you can go to small claims court up to $10,000. So that would more than cover anything that's outstanding for us. So that would be the avenue that we should go down is file a claim in small claims court.
Okay.
And there's only about five of them.
Yeah, we do that through the town of Madison, right? That's how the last one
we didn't get that far in the conversation.
Okay.
But we can figure that out.
Yeah, I think, well, we'll figure it out, but I think the last ones were done through the town of Madison because the village district doesn't have the right to file a small claim, and I forget what the reason is for. I'll look it up, but can you get a list
maybe because
of those
it's
five?
On the property.
Right. Can you get a list of those five outstanding?
I'm guessing. That's about how many there are that we might have some legal ability to put an attachment on the property.
Right. Right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's jump down to the admin's report. Donna, that's you.
We sent a second batch of water bills out with the late fee of, if not paid, will be added on July 2nd. And other than that, I just wanted to make sure I can post the job posting on the bulletin boards. I did start to work with Ron Sandstrom to set up the Firefox to send our audios for the meetings because they send them the big enough size for the file without having to break anything down. So that was a help. So we're going to try to be working on that in order to get the minutes, the meetings up onto audio onto the website.
Very good.
All right.
And Kathy, you're going to put the ad in the Conway Daily Sun?
It's already in. I put it in yesterday.
Yep.
And it showed up. I checked it. It showed up this morning.
Okay. And the canoe and kayak rollout?
It's rolled out. There was a few bugs in it. Andrew worked with most of the people to get them up and running. So hopefully it will be more streamlined. So there's not an issue going forward.
Yeah, and
how many registrations did we get since Friday?
Was
it like 62? Was 62 done right?
Yeah.
It was in the 60s, yeah.
Nothing.
One thing I noticed when I went to the portal was obviously I signed up for a spot for each of my two properties. And there was also some other tabs there One, you could look at your own property information, which is information extracted from the Madison website.
Yep.
Yeah, we got a total of 67 that have been procured so far. And there's 115 open spots on the rack still left.
And I think we're going to give them July 1st or 2nd, 2 weeks or so from when we opened, to go back in and get a second spot.
Right. So the canoe rack space is actually open up when? Is it July 1st that we can go ahead and put the
No, it's done.
It already opened.
Oh, so people can go put them on the rack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once.
I know the registration opened. I just.
Yeah. No, that's why the registration opened, so that they could put the rack
okay.
on.
All right.
That boat's on.
But I noticed on the.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I noticed on the portal site there were other tabs. One was news, which talked to there was a section for emergencies. There was a section for. News, and then there was another option where if you wanted your email address, your email address, your physical address, and your phone number to be shared with other members on the portal, you had to click a box to do that so there could be communications between everybody through the portal. And I guess my question is, I was really unaware that all this was also being added or taking place. And my concern is, we've seen the rollout just of the canoe and kayak portion, and I know how much time it's taken of Donna to address a lot of the questions and concerns that have come through, but if we have to start maintaining property information, let's say somebody in Madison changes the tax card and the property information changes, does that automatically get changed on our portal, or does Donna have to go and extract it and do it herself to update? That's one piece. The other is news, for example, emergencies. We already have an email blast system if there's a water outage or a road closure that automatically goes out once it's filled in at the website level. But now there's another site through the portal that will be doing the same thing. And again, is that going to be Donna's responsibility to do that?
No, Jay. So what that does is if somebody's not signed up on the MailChimp, this portal will take their information and add it. That's linked to our database on our MailChimp emergency and alert newsletters. So it's just basically linking to it. It's signing them up for those services already.
Okay.
So what it does
so
is if they're a new property owner in the district, they go onto the portal, and if their email is not already on the MailChimp, it adds them to that automatically.
Okay, but what if on the website, if you go to the website and you want to be added to MailChimp, you have the option of selecting yes or no. And if they select no, then they're not part of the MailChimp. But if they go to the portal, then now they're automatically going to be connected when they opted out on a previous page. You know, they're going to be added to the MailChimp.
No, because when you check off news, water, emergencies, you're checking them off on the portal. So you can do it either through the portal or through the website, and it does the same thing. So they could opt out of it just as easily on the portal.
Right.
It's just another way of getting them on the MailChimp mailing list. So they can opt out of it on the portal if they never go to the website, or vice versa. So there's just two mechanisms for them to get the same information through MailChimp. There's two ways of getting their name and address on the mailing list.
Right. You know, I sometimes like redundancy, but sometimes if
redundant.
One of those...
It's redundant.
Yeah. But if one of those has a failure, then it's something that Donna will have to try and figure out, or at least answer phone calls or emails with regards to something not working right. That's why I like to leave everything simple as possible, mm-hmm. so that if something breaks, we know where to go to fix it. I just didn't know that all these things were going to be added to this portal.
I think that was the only thing that well, anyway, it's irrelevant. But I think the only thing that really got added after that original beta test was the beach raking. So we haven't even gotten to that discussion yet on how we're going to do that or if we're going to even do that this year.
Right. Okay. And also, I know you, Donna, you spent a lot of time on those disbursement forms with DES for the Reinach project.
Yeah, Rick Skranka called me on Thursday to go over the forms because they were done incorrectly. So he walked me through them, and then I had to make sure that we had all the correct forms to file, which I had to get new ones. So they are filed. Spoke with Rick yesterday, and my understanding that he was going to be processing the disbursement and not wait until after the audit was done.
Yeah. That's good news. You might be getting some money early, Dinah. All right. That's all I got. Do you have anything else, Donna, for administration? I'm going to open it up to the... Yeah, go ahead. That's what I was going to do is open it up to the people on the phone. Go ahead. Who is this?
Okay. This is Ralph Lutchen. I'm going to read to you a prepared text that I made, and I can send it on to you. The criminal complaint concerning Adam Liza's driveway issue has been submitted to Carroll County Superior Court. The Board of Commissioners has been unable to act to obtain full restitution. Kathy has obstructed a proper resolution. She wants Liza cleared and declared innocent despite strong evidence to the contrary. She has avoided the addition of a third commissioner because she believes that a new third commissioner would be support full restitution. This is outrageous. She is not pursuing the best interests of the village. As the complaint proceeds, the Conway Daily Sun will be informed. Due to the facts of this complaint, Liza will most likely face unfavorable public comment.
Is that it, Ralph?
That's it.
And are you going to be sending a copy of that to the office, please?
No.
Oh, you did? No?
No, I don't need to.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. Were you able to get any of that written down? So, Ralph, not to dispute, but we are actively still working this matter. We have consulted with our attorney, and we are working with the attorney on this. I don't think we haven't taken any action. We still are. We just haven't come to a final resolution yet.
All right. Well, the complaint is in process, so I'm waiting for further information from the county attorney. You can avoid all this by looking for full restitution of the claims. I am sure that due to the fact that Adam was a commissioner and abused his office, this will be something that I think be worthwhile to pursue. It's a bad situation when somebody abuses his office. The other thing is that, the village has faced budget overruns in the last year, and we don't need to waste money and let somebody off the hook when they got personal benefit for it. In terms of this has gone on for a long period of time. There has been no obvious move by the commissioners, and I believe Kathy is obstructing this. So it's another issue that she's not looking out for the best interests of the village. as far as Kelly has indicated that there was certain work done in the easement area and has indicated that the appropriate amount to be sought after was approximately half of the total that Mike Smith indicated. But it's in process, so you will get some information from the court, and I'm sure it will be it will proceed. The other thing is that I'd like people to be aware of the fact that this is what Adam did as commissioner, and that it's something that is actually, we called it criminal. It is actually a criminal event.
Just so I can back up, Ralph, did you say you actually did file with the Superior Court, or which court was it?
Carroll County Superior Court.
Carroll County, okay. And you did file, or you're thinking of filing?
No, it's been submitted. It's in process.
Okay. All right. I do have here on the agenda, under Commissioner's Report, I wanted to talk about the filling of the third seat. I know that we've had two individuals who have been recommended to. Yes?
Hello? I have a question. Yeah, hi, this is Larry Sedano.
Yeah, Larry.
I'm multitasking. So just a quick question. The complaint, is that against the village district or against Adam personally?
Adam.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, that changes. Okay. But going back to under my commissioner's report, I do have the filling of the third seat. I know under RSA 670:12, when there's a vacancy on a board, such as a board of commissioners, the remaining commissioners shall appoint someone to the vacancy. And I know that we've had two names submitted. I know, Kathy, you had said last week that you didn't want to fill the position until we resolved the situation with Adam's property.
And I think we spent an hour discussing possible solutions, and I think that you and I and Kelly came up with what we all three felt was somewhat reasonable, and we submitted that to Chris Bolton. I'm surprised we didn't get a response from him last week, so we've had it now for 2 weeks. So we did submit to him what our proposal was, and we're just waiting for that to come back. So now that I think we've come to terms with what we think was fair, I feel comfortable going forward if you want to look at a third commissioner.
Okay.
I just want to be clear. I don't think it's fair. I just think it's an option. I said it's an option you could take,
It was give and take. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I did get Chris did call me last week when we sent off that proposed resolution. He's been at a conference even into this week, so he's had very little time to actually address it.
Okay.
And I know he will be getting back to us on that proposal. So I guess we'll just have to wait for him to find the time to respond to our email.
And it was making sure that the language was correct and that it was done in an appropriate way.
Yeah. And so, Kathy, you had sent this week some information from the NHMA regarding talking about the appointment of an elected position, not an employee position. And correct me if I'm wrong, but so we do have to discuss that in public session. Is that correct? Is that how I read it?
That's how I read it, and I do recall that being discussed at one of the right-to-know seminars I went to. So I'm not sure whether the prior boards were unaware of that law or if they intentionally went into non-public to discuss potential commissioners. But I don't believe they were allowed to do that.
Yeah, and from my own experience, I'm sure you're familiar with it, when you and Adam had appointed me last May, you and Adam had actually questioned me or basically had an interview of me in public session at the Madison Library. Now, I had no problem with that. It's a
but
little different now.
But even a discussion about who would be suitable and whether we thought they would be a good fit, whether they were going to make the commitment, that all had to be done in public. You cannot do that in non-public.
Right. And I know now we have two names that have been recommended to us, that being Ralph Lutchen as well as Paula Doyle. And I don't know about you, Kathy, but are you ready to discuss either of these two candidates or anyone else that you might think of? I know you also mentioned Mike Dolan, but Mike had expressed no interest at this time.
Right, right. I did talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Do
you want to talk about Paula and Ralph?
Yeah, I think Paula would actually be a good choice. I mean, I worked with her during 2018, and she certainly, I think, could bring something to the table as far as her ability to work with the website and the email system and the MailChimp and all that. I think she has a good grasp of that side of things. So I think she would be a good addition to the group. I really do.
No, I agree with you on those points you just brought up, but actually, to add to that, and is Paula still on the line?
Yes, but sometimes she puts hers on mute. She's out walking the dog. Okay. Paula, are you still there?
Yeah,
hi,
I'm
Paula.
Here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're just talking about you in case your ears are burning. but no, Paula also would bring to the table a level of logical discussion, which I have certainly witnessed being an appointed commissioner last year as well as a commissioner this year. Paula brings good discussion to the board about any subject, and I like that aspect. And also, Paula has been consistently attending these meetings this year, as well as pretty much all of last year. For anyone to be willing to put themselves through that kind of pain, obviously has an interest. So that certainly is evident there. Now, Ralph also has very good logical points. He also has experience doing this job. And, you know, there's kudos on both sides. Ralph has done this for – Ralph, you still on the call?
Yes.
How many terms have you done? How many years?
Almost four terms.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, again, experience and knowing the job, but, you know, to you, what you just pointed out, Kathy, the MailChimp, the website, skill sets like that, where we're trying to hopefully hire somebody – to help Donna with that, at least I know Paula would be able to jump right into that because she had that role when she was on the communications committee.
Yep.
So,
no, I agree. And I think one of the things that Paula is able to do is she can easily set aside personal feelings and issues and focus on really what's the best for the district going forward. I think she's very capable of acknowledging that if there's a personal issue with somebody, you acknowledge it, but you don't base all your decisions on that. And I appreciate that aspect of her.
Okay. Kathy, do you want to make a motion, or do you have any questions for either of the two nominees?
Nope. I think we know both of them well. They're not unknowns, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you want to make a motion for one of the or the other?
I would make a motion to accept Paula's submittal as commissioner.
Okay. I'll second that motion. Okay. Discussion. So, if I may, Paula, are you still on the call or you're out walking Mabel?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Are you willing to serve?
Yes, I am. I think I spoke to you about that individually, Jay, and yeah, I would be willing to do this until the end of, I just want to be clear, it would be until the next election, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, my feeling is the reason I said I was willing to do this was that, you know, I've attended a lot of meetings and, you know, I think I'm pretty up to speed on what's going on. I'm certainly no expert on so many of the big projects that have so many engineering related issues, but I think you guys are obviously already, you know, well versed on those. So, you know, I wouldn't be where you are on that, but I think hopefully I could learn a lot. And you know, I'll just try to do my best to also keep the tone civil. I certainly can't do that on my own, but that is something that I would hope we can try to get to in the coming months as a team. If I were part of the board with Kathy and with Jay, so that's all.
Does the timing of these meetings or the basically there is no time requirement as to how much time
right.
you spend
right.
on this, but do you see any roadblocks or hurdles that you would
no.
think?
No, I'm generally around and plan to be around for the summer for now and, you know, in the coming months, and Thursday mornings are shouldn't pose a problem for me for the most part.
Okay.
And obviously understand there's other time commitments as well.
Right, right.
The only thing I would say about the website and all that stuff is that I actually think from what I've seen and heard and witnessed is that Kathy has learned a lot on that and is probably way ahead of where I had been. I know I had been helping out when I was on the communications committee, but I sense that she knows a lot more about it now than I ever did. And so I'd be happy if you want me to, if I were appointed to take on some of that work, I would also hope that Kathy, you know, could provide some help with that as well and training or guidance. Because I said, I never learned the MailChimp system. I've worked on other systems that are similar in my past career. And then the website, I was able to make kind of minor updates and revisions to it. But I'm certainly no expert. I just want to be
I'll
clear
tell you
about
Paul,
that.
Anybody that I've talked to that knows those two systems, they say, oh, they are both MailChimp and WordPress are like the least intuitive sites to
right.
manage.
Right.
You know, once you get it, but it's not, it's
right.
a challenge. So, but thank you for acknowledging that. Cause I've spent hours, trying to figure that website out. Ron's given me some step, hints along the way. And I know Donna wants to be able to do it all. You just can't.
Right.
I mean, with all this stuff she has to do to teach and not only teach you how to do it, but then to keep up with it. At some point, if we get a second person on board, then I think we could shift some of that responsibility over. But in the meantime, I think posting to the website in the MailChimp, it's not that we're not making administrative decisions. So I've really tried to back out of the office in the day-to-day flow of the work, and Donna's certainly been able to get a handle on all of that. But the website is just taking the information that's completed and posting it. So I don't think there's really a conflict there with a commissioner doing that function. And
right.
if we both knew how to do it, great.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless Jay wants to do it. Jay, do you want to learn how to use the website?
No. No, say that again?
Unless you want to learn how to use the website, Jay.
Oh, I mean, I could learn, but... yeah, I figured if somebody already knew it.
I'm kidding.
That,
yeah, I'm,
okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just being sarcastic. Yeah. Okay. So now we'll have to have a swearing in at some point.
for Paula?
There was some.
Well, there's a motion. We'll have to vote. So all in favor of Paula becoming the appointed third seat to the Board of Commissioners? I'll say aye.
Aye. And I'll say yes.
Okay.
Unanimous.
Yeah, she'll have to be sworn in at the next meeting if you can do that, Paul. Or actually, any time between now and the next meeting, because the clerk here can do that for you.
Okay. So we don't need to be present or sign off on anything?
No, they have to be a witness.
Okay. So it has to have someone there. I'll reach out to Donna and set up, figure out a time.
Great.
Okay.
All right. But thank you both, Ralph and Paula, for your interest and stepping up and filling in the third seat. All right. So we got that. That was under my commissioner's report. We'll just take that right out. Going back to the administration portion, is anybody else on the call have anything else under administration that they want to question or have concerns about?
Hi, this is Dinah.
Hi, Dinah.
As far as those retainage accounts go, those are all ready to be opened as soon as they get the first deposit. My question is, are you folks going to be paying Dawson and DN Tank and the corresponding retainage amounts?
And the corresponding. So we have. Go ahead, Kathy.
I believe what Chris said was when we received that document, that part of the contract was that we have 45 days to pay. So
it's been
1 week, so we still have time to pay them. Now, if stretching it out to the 44th day gets us beyond, well, it's coming out of that separate account anyway, so we have the funds set aside.
Correct.
We don't have to wait for the tax income for payment. So we already have the money set aside. So what we're going to do is Donovan and I explained sort of a whole scenario to Catherine, who's the QuickBooks treasurer expert that we've been working with. And we're going to let her figure out the way to do the postings for both the warrant article of the tank and the payment of the loan and the payment of the contractors. So she's got a good handle on the complexity of this whole thing. And I think when we're ready to pay it, we will have her log into our QuickBooks and do the disbursements for us. And if she does it once and it all looks like it's correct, then I think Donna will be able to do the subsequent ones after that. Just to make sure we have a retainage amount.
That's a good idea. I just wanted to make sure that it was still on the agenda and so forth.
Yeah, we will. I think we'll pay them.
Yeah, Kathy, when I worked with Catherine on Monday, she was running them all by Tamer, so it's going to be done properly, and she was going to, she was waiting to hear back from Tamer.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't want to, and I think, Donna, you and I are in agreement, we don't want to just pay it and allocate it to an account, knowing we'll have to go back and adjust it according to the proper procedure. So we want to do it one time and do it right. There's a lot of moving parts to this payment schedule, so we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and everybody understands where the money's going, how it's being posted, so when they look at the record of it, it all makes sense. And I think to Dinah's point, she made the same comment multiple times that we need to make sure we don't lose control of how these bills are being paid.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she's good. Yeah, and Catherine's very good.
It's a wonderful idea, so we do get everything straight.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
The only thing that she did question me was that we have it in the minutes from somewhere that we voters voted that we can expend unanticipated grants and gifts.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do definitely have it.
We have that authority, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what wanted me to ask.
Okay. Do you remember when we found that? We got that list from Michelle at DRA that back in 1992, the district
voted.
That's
what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's the document and the RSA that gives the district and the commissioners the right to expend that grant money. So we didn't have that.
There we go.
Hi, okay. I just got to switch over to my phone. So we didn't lose contact with you. I just had to turn the mute button off.
Okay. I just need a clarification for Catherine. That's all. That's what I thought.
Okay.
It was accepted.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Diana. Anything else from anybody on that administration? I just have a...
Yes, Mike Smith. What's the story with the audit? When is it going to be released?
Do we have it yet?
We have the final draft. There is a thing. She just needs to know how many to print up. I can send that out via email to you, Mike. I was going to do that after. To whoever wants it, we have the draft, but we have the final also.
I don't want the draft. I want the final.
Okay.
I mean, this... Normally, we have it in February. This is now June. It's crazy how long it's taken to get an audit. And part of this is the commissioners. Part of this is the commissioners, and I'll tell you right now, there's no one to blame but the commissioners, because this is a simple process that has always been done and out in February.
Mike, I don't think last year's audit came back until June. But that's irrelevant.
What was that? What was that?
I said, Mike, I don't believe the 2018 audit didn't come back until June.
I question that completely.
Okay. And it doesn't matter. I'm just making a point.
You tried to use the excuse the management's report was holding it up. The management's report has nothing to do with the audit. The numbers.
Mike, that's not true. Mike, that's not true. You have to have
Kathy, I know what you said a couple weeks ago, and that's what you said. The management's report was holding it up. You don't even have to have a management's report in the audit.
Jay, could you explain to Mike, please?
Yeah. So, Mike, in the management report, I actually used numbers that were part of the final numbers that were part of the audit, because I wanted to actually demonstrate how the audit works so that people have a better understanding through the management report. And so we were getting some final journal entries corrected, and that's what held up the management report. And so it was critical that those numbers be finalized before we put the management report in.
Right.
So, let me ask a simple question, Jay. How of all the years that we released the audit in February, we also had the management's report in it, but that would not hold it up. That could have been a likely excuse you used to put numbers in there to hold up the audit report being released.
No, you're right. In past years' management reports, there were never really the use of any of the numbers that were part of the audit. This year, I decided to show those numbers and show the people who are reading this how the audit actually works.
So we wanted to get a copy of the audit for the truck loan at the bank, and the response from the auditor was because we chose to put a management report in, that she couldn't consider the audit final. Even though it was done, she couldn't consider it final until she received the management report, reviewed it just for any errors, and because that is part of the audit. So if you want a copy of the email, Mike, we can send it to you. But right now, everything is on track. I think that last year we got, five hard copies of the audit, and that makes sense to get. I think we've got four of them left, but if we wanted to do five hard copies for this year's audit.
I want this year's audit. I don't want last year's.
No, but I'm saying last year we got five hard copies. The question came or proposed to us was, and we've got four of them left over, do we want to go ahead and have her print up five bound copies of the audit?
Yeah, I'll make that motion that we have five bound copies printed to include them. Do you want to second that, Kathy?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? I think that's what's been done in the past, so we might as well be
that's
consistent
correct.
With the new test. Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We'll get 5 bound copies, Mike. And you can also get it through email as well if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I'm going to send it right out.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have mine electronically.
Oh, okay.
The 5 copies, normally the office gets one, and then anybody that comes in the office, they hand them out.
Okay. All right. I'm just real quick. Oh, yeah. From an administration standpoint, Kathy, just a heads up, when we decide, if we decide to go ahead with the Thusis culvert project this year,
yep.
We'll have to wait for the stream to dry up possibly, but Kelly thinks he might be able to get in there early. We still need a PBN
okay.
To get that. So that's a $100 cost, just to let everybody know. It goes through DES, and they give us a permit by notification. Administrative, there's anything else I was going to bring up. Go ahead.
About that.
Does what? Kelly, know what?
No, did they, so you said there was something else you were going to bring up about the Thusis project?
Yeah.
Okay, so has there been a adequate drawing done up of that whole project to show DES where we're going to put those culverts and where that water is going to be directed?
Yeah, so
that's all that's done.
Yeah, I did the drawings last year, but we had never submitted a PBN because we knew we weren't going to do it last year.
Okay, now have we taken pictures of the area? Because they want pictures included.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of a hold up last year. We couldn't print them because of our non color copier.
Right. Okay.
So
if you need me to print the pictures.
Yeah. So if everything works good, we'll at least get started with the PBN process. And also, I want to reach out to the abutters, which is part of the process anyhow. But there was one abutter, which is a homeowner, and the culvert actually runs right underneath their property, including their driveway and their carport. So they need to be notified that that culvert will be no longer functional, just as a courtesy to what's happening in that area. So it's just all be cognizant of that. That's a typical thing administratively. Okay, we have, I'm just going to jump in to Section 5, which is the signature writing. And I believe that, Donna, you signed as clerk the bond.
Yes, I had to sign as clerk the bond papers. And those went out to the bond bank and the bond in Concord.
Okay, perfect. We had the water hookup request for number 9 Reiner, 70 Oscar, 70 Oscar. We just had gentlemen in the room. We have a hookup at number 10 Barton Place that was completed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm negligent in creating a work order for Ian to do that. Because once the work order is created, it will also drive the documentation that Ian needs to provide to the triangulation of where that curb stop valve is located. So I was down at that site yesterday when they were doing the project. And Kathy, just so you know, Kathy and Paula, the water line, the water main in the road is only 3 feet deep. And this is the road. This is the way that everybody knows we've had repeated freeze-ups on. And, Kathy, if you remember, and Paula, the discussion about whether to spend some money to link the two dead ends together on that road?
Uh-huh, I do.
Yeah, so they did some digging and some valve turning, and it appears that the connection's already been made.
What?
So, yeah, it appears that the water line is already in place completely through that road. So we may not have to do it at all.
Okay. So that wasn't, yep. How long ago did they think that was done?
Well, so I recall back probably about 12, 15 years ago, when this road froze up and all the homes on that road were basically without water for the winter. Excuse me. It was discussed whether or not to dig that road up in the wintertime to replace the water line. And, of course, you can only imagine it would have cost a fortune because the ground was already frozen.
Yeah.
And before, we had to accommodate some of those homeowners by putting them up on a hotel. I believe that was a discussion. I'm not sure if it actually happened or not, but that was the cheapest resolution, was to put them in a hotel for the season. So I believe that the water line may have been not replaced, but at least that pass-through, that dead end, was connected so that we don't have standing water. That's good news.
Yeah, too bad that the work wasn't documented and we had a record of that.
Right, and that's why it's so important, why I keep trying to really hone in on this mapping that we definitely need. That's something that we need to talk about. And Donner, if you could include it, excuse me, in your minutes. Asset management mapping warrant article for next year.
Yeah.
There is a grant, Kathy, just so we have it in the minutes here, there's a grant that's going to be offered for asset management in the fall.
Yep. We talked about it last year, actually.
Yeah, I was in the office when Rick Sarenka called Donna, and so he spoke to me briefly about asset management, something he wants us to continue with.
Of course. Well, we are continuing with it. We haven't ever not continued with asset management. We knew how important it always was.
Right. But I think our biggest hang-up is actually not having a good map. So
the biggest what? Say that again. The biggest what?
The biggest hang-up is that we don't have any good map to rely on.
You can't manage an asset if you don't know where it is, I guess.
Yeah. The leak on Aspen is still there, and Ian's going to coordinate with Dawson's as to get the leak and fix. I wanted to jump down. I know we have some manifest and payroll, but our employees said they got so much money they don't need payroll this week.
Yeah, right.
But I want to jump down because this might be a lengthy discussion, and I want to keep the people that are still in the audience involved in this. The stay-at-home 2.0 guidelines for beach use and outhouses / Madison. So I went to the Madison Selection meeting on Tuesday afternoon, and I think I sent out an email, Kathy, to you in the office as well as Kelly. So as I mentioned earlier, Madison is only going to be procuring two outhouses. One is going to be for the beach at the foot of Silver Lake, and then the other one will be for the boat ramp at the foot of Silver Lake for the station attendant. So they're only going to be doing two where they usually do nine because of budget concerns. And so they are putting in outhouses, and I want to stay focused on that. So we have our outhouses cleaned and ready to go. And my question to you, Kathy, is what do you want to do in regards to opening the outhouses to the public?
Well, we were hoping to kind of stay in lockstep with Madison because we didn't want to force usage to one set of beaches over another, so that if they were keeping theirs closed, we would keep ours closed, and vice versa. Now they've done a shift, and now they're partially opening the outhouses. They've got two out of nine. I don't know, Jay. I'm very torn about that. We did have a resident last week complain or express concern that people were still relieving themselves next to the outhouses and leaving a little pile of toilet paper there as a marker, I don't know. You know, we don't have the ability to have somebody go in once a day or after every use and wipe down the facility. That's my concern. I think that part of the protocol was that they wanted them cleaned on a very regular basis.
Yeah. So I looked at the outhouses in the tank, and there is a somebody's got a phone that's
making a lot of noise.
That's Kathy.
Oh, sorry.
No. No, I'm not even touching it. Okay.
Yeah. There's somebody sliding their phone around.
Yeah, so that noise, that background noise is not for me.
Yeah, someone with the phone 8488. Ah, perfect. Can everybody hear me? Okay.
There we go. Right. That's better.
Yeah. So at the Boulder Loop Trailhead, there's some outhouses, and they have a notice on the outside of their outhouse doors as to the fact that the outhouse is cleaned daily with the following products. And they use the brand Comet, and all of the other brand was just a disinfectant. So they're using chlorine bleach, which is what Comet has in it, because some people actually have an allergy or a condition to chlorine. So that has to be noticed. And I did speak with the cleaner that we had last year, and she would be willing to do it again this year. Now, we had that person on a daily basis, right?
No. Twice a week.
Once a week.
Yeah. Is it once a week or twice a week, Donna?
I'd have to check.
I thought it was like Fridays and Mondays.
It was like two or three times a week.
I thought it was twice a week. Yeah, definitely wasn't once a day. We all agree with that.
Okay. So if we do open up the outhouses, Kathy, we would have to have the signage. I did send out an email this morning with some recommended signage that could be put on the beach, either on the picnic table, about keeping the 6-foot social distancing. But if we would clean the outhouses, we at least now have to advertise what it is that we're doing. Also, under the universal guidelines under the state of New Hampshire, we would have to provide either of two things, a wash station or a hand sanitizer. Now, we've had hand sanitizers in the outhouses before, but I can guarantee you those will go missing in the first hour.
I agree.
Yeah. So let me ask the question. Is the toilet paper, is that on a locked mechanism in there?
No.
Okay.
It's just sitting up. It's actually sitting up on a 2x4.
Yeah. So if we open the outhouses, we might obviously need to consider getting those wall-mounted hand sanitizer stations so somebody doesn't walk off with them. And also the toilet paper, like at the campsites at the Kank, would probably have to have a rod through it with a padlock on it. So what do you think?
I mean, that's...
Plus the trash.
You know, it's just unfortunate that you have to go through all of that, with, you know, trying to provide a service, and then it ends up costing us $1,000 to get all these anti-theft mechanisms in place.
Yeah. But, you know, we did put a good investment into opening up the outhouses, and I think in the discussion that they did have at Madison, that from a sanitary standpoint, it might be best to have some bathroom facilities so that the water doesn't become worse than it may already be. So, with the resident that mentioned that people are possibly defecating outside the outhouse because they're locked, we don't want to have that get even more widespread.
So I would think that go ahead.
I'll defer to you, Jeremy. I think you have a better handle on the overall upside and downside of this decision. So,
yeah,
I defer to you.
Yeah, I would not be objectionable to putting picnic tables out, but with that we would staple a notice to the surface of it saying, "Please keep social distancing."
But they're supposed to be disinfected also.
Yeah, so that's almost impossible because it's wood to disinfect.
Right, and then the thing, so I read through one of those regulations where it said people had to go online and sign up for a one-hour spot, and but I think they were looking at specific, day use areas. I don't know if that was a general requirement for every little area that had a picnic table.
Right. And those were areas that are also parks that are actually staffed.
Right.
Because our beaches are not staffed. The floats, I can't see kids not being 6 feet apart from each other. So I would say that the float should probably stay in.
Okay.
Stay on the beach. And, what I'll do is I'll inquire about the wall-mounted hand sanitizers. And I can guarantee you, because I already spoke with someone else who ordered those for their public library, and they waited several weeks to get theirs.
Yeah. Well, Donna, is that big thick catalog still in the office by Uline, Uline?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it right here.
Because they have all that stuff right in there.
Yeah. There's also a local distributor right here on the Madison boundary, BNI distributors, and they may actually carry some of these things.
Okay.
I'll look them up as well. But I'll make a motion that we open up the outhouses as long as we can provide hand sanitizer. We will provide
once
we normally do.
We're gonna have to purchase something to hold the toilet paper, or we just maybe rig something up on a chain that's on a little padlock.
Yeah, we can make it as simple as that. Just a chain with a padlock on one end, the other is screwed into the wall, and
okay.
We'll have the person change them out as they need be. Like at the parks where they can put multiple rolls on one bar. So that when one roll runs, the other one's right there.
Okay. So is that something we want to have Kelly go ahead and purchase and fabricate?
I'm looking at them right now, and
you purchase them, we'll install.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to fabricate.
No, but as far as the chain, getting a piece of jack chain. And maybe make it 2 feet long, bolt it on one end of the outhouse. The other end will be on some kind of hook and a padlock. And then we could slide the toilet paper rolls onto the chain.
What you do is you got to light the pipe.
Yeah.
And you can slide two or three rolls on, and then you lock either in the pipe when it goes through the board.
Right.
Okay. All right. Pipe, chain. Yep.
Yeah, that's how they do it in the parks.
The other thing, too, you have to take into consideration is the availability of the sanitizer.
Yes. And I know their Ocean State job lot has gallon jugs. They're $40 a gallon. It's like a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could always use Jack Daniels. You have to have either a wash station or hand sanitizer. Yep. So this is the new norm.
So on Boulder Beach, you'd have to get two of them, one for each side.
Yeah, actually, and then also the other beaches as well.
Yeah, so you'd have to get, what, 10? Like, there's no, there's nothing at beaches, but you'd get
eight
of them.
Yeah.
depends on the type of thing, if you have to buy a special dispenser.
Yeah.
Because he has a couple push-button dispenser, the wall-mounted, but it has a bag for the disinfectant. They're $12 each. The refills looks like $16 refill for four refills. But this is an old,
old
book. So prices may have gone up. I'm just going to be.
I'm sure they have.
So that we'd have to check into.
All right. So as soon as we are able to open the outhouses based on the universal guidelines from the state of New Hampshire, we will do so and notify the residents through an email blast as well as possibly a newsletter. So we'll go ahead and make those efforts to get those products and materials into the outhouses. And do you want to have Donna contact last year's cleaner to see about her availability? Kathy?
Meeting's adjourned.
Oh, did we lose Kathy?
Kathy? Yep.
Let's give her a minute, see if she calls back in.
Is anybody else still on?
This is Dinah. I'm here.
Yeah. Hi, Dinah. Larry, you still on?
Larry Sedano.
Paula? No.
Right. I'm still here. But
yeah.
I think Kathy's trying to call in. Is that right?
Hello, Kathy.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, do you really think the rafts can't go out?
Well, how are kids going to be 6 feet apart on a raft? I mean, I've seen so many kids on those rafts that the rafts are basically sinking.
Well, I don't know. It's just such a nice amenity that and it kind of looks gross on the beach, but I guess, I don't know. It seems like the dimensions are more than 6 feet, and families do stuff, and I don't know. I'm just putting in my 2 cents worth, and I guess it's only worth 2 cents.
With inflation. This is Paul. My 2 cents on that would be, what is legally required from the state that the district do, and what is people's personal responsibility? So if the state is saying you have to provide a situation so people can't get 6 feet together? Or should we put up a sign and say, you know, we're putting out the rafts. They're 8 feet long, so people know how big they are. You know, people have to take some personal responsibility. But if we're legally required to do something, we should do it. But I agree with Dinah. You know, at a certain point, people have to take responsibility. It's like if you don't have a rule, a law that says you have to wear a mask, then people can decide. Some states have laws that you have to wear a mask. Some don't. You follow the law.
Yeah. But I think the main users of the rafts are usually children, and you really can't hold them responsible until they become 18.
No, but I'm not saying if the law says you can't be, you know, if the law says that we as a district are liable if people get within 6 feet of each other, or we don't provide an option, then we should keep them out on the beaches. But if the law says that if we're allowed to put the raft out, then you post a sign and you say, it's not, you know, we wouldn't then hold people responsible, or we wouldn't then be responsible. You know what I'm saying? It's like a playground. If the playground's open, you have to decide if you keep your kids 6 feet away from everybody else. But if you keep your playground closed because you're not supposed to open it, that's our responsibility to keep it closed.
Playgrounds are still closed, so that would be like a raft.
Yeah.
Yesterday there
was, 8-10 kids on a 10-by-10 floor, so.
Where was that?
Danforth Bay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we can put them out and expect people to be responsible, but I think we're seeing in other states where they're starting to either fall back or close down certain industries again. The bars, I guess, are the big ones where, well, of course, if you're going to drink, you can't wear a mask, and you're sitting right on top of a stool next to another person. So they've seen some outbreaks.
Yeah, well,
personal
responsibility. All
right. So I guess the other thing is, I will say to you, I've walked by all these beaches every day, and well, not all of them. I'm sorry, a couple of them. People are using the raft as picnic tables.
Yeah.
So
I respect that. Yeah.
You don't want people using picnic tables, but all you've done is substitute a raft for a picnic table now, which you didn't want people using them, and people are using them anyway.
Yeah.
As I said, I think my vote would be for allowing, do what we have to do, what we are legally required to do to protect, whatever, as a municipality. But you also have to allow personal responsibility if that's what the law provides for, if that's what the law is providing for. That's all.
Yeah, I asked the question after the selectmen's meeting because they did not bring up their rafts or their picnic tables in their discussion. So I called yesterday, and the administrator was supposed to get back to me as to what the DPW is going to do with the rafts or the picnic tables. I haven't gotten a call back yet. But I guess I'll make the motion also to include putting the rafts out, if that's okay, Kelly, with your department.
Absolutely. What about?
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. And so, again, you can go ahead and put the rafts out now. As far as signage, I did print up a very simple sign that says, what do they say? Please keep 6 foot social distancing. That's all it was.
Did you see that?
It's an email.
Oh, that's
an email.
Okay, I didn't open it. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe we could laminate those and just staple them right down to the picnic table. And maybe I'll put them on the side of the outhouses so that we're at least telling people or reminding them of what is the right thing to do. May not be a law, but it's the right thing to do. Okay.
Outhouses now, or are we going to wait till we get permanent sanitizer, toilet paper solution?
Yeah, we have to wait. On that one, there is a rule. Yeah, universal guidelines say that you have to have either a wash station or sanitizer. So we have to do that. And, of course, toilet paper would be very helpful to anyone that needs it. So, we'll have to wait on that one. Now, going back to a request for use of the beaches for barbecues by the EPOA in the month of July and August, I guess now we can answer that question and say I'd be in favor of that as long as the EPOA adheres to the universal guidelines for serving food. And I'm not going to go into the details of that because, my gosh, I don't know how people are going to do it. Each separate food item needs to be on a separate table, 6 feet away from the next person. All the employees or servers have to be educated on how to serve the food. The line of people coming to get the food has to be spaced and controlled. So if the EPOA wants to do this event, they seriously need to look at the universal guidelines of the state of New Hampshire as far as serving food.
How about a sign saying, eat at your own risk?
Swim at your own risk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it. Walk the streets at your own risk?
Yeah, the other thing I was going to ask for, too, is has the EPOA submitted their usual insurance binder that they usually get?
I haven't gotten anything.
Okay. Dinah, do you know anything about the insurance binder that
allows you folks to serve food and have public meetings and such?
Nope.
Okay, I know that's always been done in the past.
Well, I'm sure of it in the past. We can, we're having a phone conference on Saturday. I will bring it up. What
okay.
is it, the insurance binder?
Yeah, there's a binder. For example, if anyone wanted to use the lodge, they have to get an insurance binder to show the use of the lodge for that day for the number of people that are going to be at the lodge. And I think when the EPOA does the events, it's called an event binder. So if they're serving the chicken barbecue or the lobster bake or whatever, you know, things that they used to do, they would have insurance to protect themselves and the district against any liability of an accident that may occur.
Cool. I'll get that answer for you this weekend, or I'll make sure it's forwarded. I'm sure it's something we get every year.
Okay. And the New Hampshire Universal Guidelines, you can go on anywhere and find that, and then you'll have to choose for serving food. Another one might be comparable to.
Aren't restaurants opening and everything? So what's the difference?
Did you see what restaurants have to go through in order to serve outside?
Inside.
Yeah. It's
capacity.
They have to, there can be no menus. They're all disposable immediately after they're touched.
That's silverware.
Silverware is all plastic and paper.
So good with the cookouts.
Yeah. But no, the employees have to be trained, or the servers in this case.
We don't have any employees.
Yeah, but you got servers.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we'll talk about it later, and I'll discuss it this weekend, as I said, with the board.
Okay. Thank you. The other thing that came up in Madison was the discontinuance of the dump and beach coupon sticker, the coupon, I should say, not a sticker. From now on, if you're going to use the Madison Transfer Station, you have to have a resident sticker or taxpayer sticker on your vehicle. Simple as that. This past.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can I interrupt? Okay. So this is not a temporary measure. This is going to be in effect going forward, even after all the COVID restrictions are lifted.
Yeah, so this is now an indefinite restriction, and there's going to be a public hearing on June 30th at 6 p.m. to discuss increasing the transfer station fees and limiting the use of the transfer station to just taxpayers only. So until that public hearing is held to ratify the decision that they've made in the interim, you'll probably never have the ability to have a renter or a guest use the transfer station in the future here in Madison.
Okay.
So now, the concern I brought up was that if renters or guests cannot bring their trash to the transfer station, they may very well end up back in our septic tanks, or in our outhouses, or in our bus stop. So it's all something that has to be monitored. We're going to see how it pans out. Hopefully, visitors will, as well as residents, will be mindful and responsible, but we'll just see how it pans out. Every action deserves a reaction, so we'll see.
I think what some property owners have done is they contracted with a local property maintenance company and say, okay, we'll pay you $50 a week at the end of my rental, bring by and pick up all the trash and bring it to the Madison transfer station because you as a company are a Madison resident.
Well, no. So they're also changing that even Madison residents who run a business of cleaning houses, that will now be considered a commercial business, and Madison will no longer be taking commercial waste or demolition material.
Okay.
Now.
All right, well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah. So
there's definitely evidence of that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there was quite a bit of a change that's going to be coming forth. That's, again, June 30th at the gymnasium at the school.
6 p.m.
So then we ask this. So if somebody was a big business and they had construction debris or house cleaning debris, where do they bring that?
Yeah, they an individual homeowner with his own vehicle, being a taxpayer of Madison, can bring.
No, I was just asking for a commercial business.
Coleman's, I guess, takes demolition material. So he has some pits, I guess, over in his sand and gravel yard, and it does take, I guess, demolition material over there.
What about trash, though? She's asking.
Yeah, if it's commercial,
yeah,
it'd have to be, it'd be best going through a dumpster company and let them take care of it. Yep. So we actually may see, in addition to some luxury cars in some of the driveways in Idlewise, we may actually see dumpsters as well. So hopefully they're nicely painted. So that's all I got on the my meeting at Madison. Also, the size limit of number of people gathering has gone from 10 to 50. But we still, you still have to maintain social distancing in that space. So, for example, this small office that we have, I think maximum number of people is, what, 4 or 5 max?
5 max.
Yeah. So even though it's up to 50 number-wise, the space that we have only allows 5. So with regards to that, Executive Order Number 12 and Executive Order Number 23 are still in play. And that means that we can still continue to have, as long as there's an emergency order, can still continue to have our remote meetings electronically. So that's good news. Is everybody still on?
Yeah.
Okay. And, Kathy, I'm going to let you do your commissioner's report. I think we talked about the audits completed. And do you have any updates on the Chicora electrical upgrades?
Kathy?
Here she is.
Kathy?
I'm Donna.
Hi.
Can we jump to the manifest real quick to just make sure we get them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the manifest for $7,310.46.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
And that one has to be signed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now we get the manifest.
Yeah, the manifest.
There we go. I can sign these checks afterwards, actually.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay.
Can you just read them off? Yeah.
Albany is for Service Center, $380.62. Alvin J. Coleman is for $3,166.51. F.W. Webb is for $688. Catherine Kozil for posting of the job back in May is $3,360. Town of Madison Fire Department for the $25 for street sign for 10 Junk Brown. Napa Auto Parts is for $498.08. New Hampshire Retirement is a late payment of $1,865, but with it is attached an appeal letter, so that they'll probably send it back to us, according to the woman I spoke with. And S.W. Cole is for $2,500 for the drilling services.
Okay. So we have a motion. Yeah, we have a motion.
The discussion. I think the SW Cole, we need to do a withdrawal on one of the capital reserve funds for that. That was the decision made back, 2 months ago?
Yep.
Okay, so I think we were going to do the water system account reserve fund to sort of cross over multiple water system related things.
Yeah, I don't have in front of me.
It's not pipeline replacement, it's not water tank, it's kind of water system related.
Right. Well, why wouldn't we be taking this out of the loan money?
Well, we've got to spend $85,000 from the capital reserve. So this was an easy way to do it, to do these small expenses that aren't part of the big project.
Right.
So we're going to do that, and then so that was one of them. The other one was if we get a bill from Ian on the cost of replacing that water line at DPW1 and removing the bleed, and that was another one that's actually that cost was going to come from.
Yeah.
And we thought Barton was going to be another one, but apparently that's already been resolved. So it's all water-related items, but not part of those two big stuff, the tank and dock.
Okay. So which capital reserve fund do we have enough money in?
Well, the water system.
Okay. So we'll make that motion, Donna.
Okay.
That's a $2,500.
We already made the motion to do that.
Yeah.
To use that fund to pay for the list probe.
Oh, okay. So we already did. So we don't have to do it again. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we paid it and we expense it probably to the water budget. But when we get the, you know, that's one thing Catherine's going to help us with, is the way to transfer money from the capital reserve fund into our system wasn't done in the cleanest manner. So we're going to be working to clean that up and do it correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we can also submit that. So the next time that we do a submittal, the DES for all reimbursement, that can be included.
Yeah.
That fell under the guidelines of the reimbursement for the grant.
Okay. We also have a separate check, not part of the manifest, but it's going back to a water user because she double paid her water bill. And so,
okay. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, this amount is for the $387.35, and that's money less the transaction fee?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll make that motion that we sign this check for the reimbursement to this water fee user because she double paid.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And just in case we didn't vote on the $7,000 figure for the $7,310.46 for the manifest. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Okay. And now we got payroll. And that amount is $5,703.30. We have for the week of 6-5, Kelly Robitel, 40 hours. And for the week of 6-12, Kelly Robitel, 40 hours. For the week of 6-5, Jeff DiMartino, also 40 hours. And Jeff, for the week of 6-12, also 40 hours. Tony Eldridge, for the week 6-5, 24 hours. Tony Eldridge, for the week of 6-12, also 24 hours. Donna McKinnon, for the week of 6-5, 21.75 hours. And for the week of 6-12, 24.75 hours. But I will have to say that Donna's been here a lot more than those hours stated because she loves it here.
Okay. So who makes the motion?
I'll make that motion to approve the payroll, $5,703.30.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Okay.
Well, Donna get caught up here with her paper clip.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Kathy, did you want to speak to the Chicora electrical upgrades at all? Anything happening there?
No, I reached out to Ian again when I was trying to track him down for 7 days after. And as soon as Justin Electric's schedule frees up, he has it on through the summer, we'll be attacking that project. It's already been laid out, already spent, there's no need to do there. It's just a matter of physically getting there. So I'm guessing, we thought this June, but it looks like now it's going to be the first week in July.
Okay. All right. Kathy, anything else under your commissioner's reports?
No, I think just get the audit done, get Catherine connected to our QuickBooks, so we have a nice clean set of accounting, and I'm good with that. I'm glad Paul's on board to, you know, steer the ship forward, so I'm happy about that.
Okay, great. And just running down now to correspondence. We got quite a bit of correspondence this week. Yeah, we did get the correspondence. We already talked about 33 Upper Lakeview. We're going to meet with them on Monday. We have a communication from a Mr. Wyatt Berrier, who's a realtor, asking if there are any extra association fees other than the water fee. And I believe the answer would be no. We have Mike Smith. Thank you, Mike, for sending in the pictures from the first hatchling. Two loons were hatched on the little pond this weekend, and they are now out of the nest swimming. And I hope they're not going to use the rafts or the outhouses, but they may. And so that's good news. And Kelly has put a board back in. All boards are in. Raise the water levels up. And we also have a communication from Shauna Kondrat for the use of the lodge or outside covered space. Now, as far as the, again, we've now gone from a gathering of 10 minimum, a maximum, to now 50. And I haven't done any measurements, but if you were to measure in a lodge how many people you could get in there at 6 foot social distance, you may be actually able to get 20 people, and
I think that would even be tight, Jay. It doesn't include the deck, all of that. 20 would be tight.
Yeah.
6 feet apart.
Yeah.
You're going to, just to clarify, it's 50 people, but at social distancing, but if it's a couple, a married couple.
Right.
They don't have his family.
That should count as one.
If you go to a restaurant, you can see the table.
Yeah.
And you're not going to ask them if they're related. You know, two different couples could come in. They're not going to get questioned whether they're brother or sister. Or,
so right.
It's not that cut and dry to
do that. I know. Do I
agree
with Kelly. I do. But what she's looking for is a program about clean waters and clean ponds. So it's going to, I think a lot of people would like to attend that, and I would hate to limit it to 20. And we just, Donna and I did reply to her saying as soon as the restrictions are lifted, we would be more than happy to coach this individual who has not been scheduled yet. So I think we're okay with that.
I think we pushed it out to the fall, Kathy, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's a non issue at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the again, the NHMA emergency order is number 12 and 23 are still in place for remote meetings like the one we're having now. That's great news.
Okay.
Green Mountain Conservation Group has sent in their newsletter, their monthly newsletter. If anyone wants to take a look, there's some good information in there. And again, we talked about the EPOA use of the beach for July and August, so Dinah's going to take that to their meeting this weekend. And 116 Idlewise Drive, that's the Thusis Culvert. I'll reach out to that resident and let them know we plan on moving forward this summer with getting those culverts replaced. And I just want to touch base on 91A requests. So we have a new one from Mike Smith this week. And I think we gave him most everything he wanted previously. And you had a question, Donna?
If the correct amount presented at the budget hearing on the 125's meeting was $27,041 for an overrun.
Yeah, that was the amount presented at the budget hearing on
January.
And that has since changed. In the audit, it shows it as $23,000-some-odd.
I missed the number. Say it again.
Yeah, so at the January 25th budget hearing, we presented an over expenditure of the operating budget of some $27,000+.
Yeah.
And in the final audit, it's going to be more like $23,000+.
And Mike will see that when he gets the audit. So when we give him the audit, we've given him the right information.
Okay, yeah. So, all right. And
I guess for the audience's sake, the numbers that we were working off of at that time was a spreadsheet that was put together of the operating costs and how much we spent. It didn't take into account any of the warrant articles, the over expenditures, and the under expenditures. So people just need to know that when you look at the overall audit, and I think Jay's letter as part of that management report does explain that, but you can't just zero in on that one number because the audit takes into the consideration all of those other factors as well.
Yep.
Okay. And I think, you know, Don, remember when Tamer sent that couple of pages of journal entries?
Yep.
If Mike wants that, just forward that to him. That shows all the journal entries. One section is all the bills that came in January that should have been posted to December of 2019. So all that's right in there. So if you want the copy of those couple of pages, email those to him.
Okay. That's what was my question. If I could do that, that would be great. All right. Okay.
Is that all set?
That's all set.
Okay. Then we also had previous requests from Mark Grafham, Terry Warren, and David Modley.
Terry Warren was taken care of.
Yeah.
Mark, I think, was looking for the audit, so I can send that out to him.
Okay.
And David is just waiting to be able to come into the office to copy his things. I don't know how you want to handle that.
Yeah, and then he doesn't want him to have them sent electronically or even pick up the copies.
Yeah.
He just wants to come in and take pictures.
Yeah,
of
he never got back to me for when I sent out if he wanted the copies. So I haven't heard.
We did give him an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have someone come in and scan all the documents was not an option at this time.
Right.
So he can either wait until the office is open, or if he needed the documents, we would have somebody make copies and charge him the 25 cents a copy.
Yeah, yep. That's what's explained.
If we have the documents, there was an avenue for him to get them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we didn't say no. We just said, you know, either wait, or if you need them now, here's how we'll have to do that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. And I think we covered it. Oh, Adam, the 91A. Kathy, were you going to do the one for Adam?
Well, we're looking at the QuickBooks grant, and I think one of the issues with QuickBooks, and I don't know if we ever conveyed that to him, is that it includes payroll information.
Right.
You can't make that out.
We
would be unable to do the whole QuickBooks file.
So have we corresponded that information to him that we really can't give him?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't recall.
Yeah,
I don't recall doing their thing, so we may not have done it yet.
Yeah, we need to at least explain that to him and ask him if he wants either revised reports or some other segment of QuickBooks that we can hopefully extract.
Yeah.
Yep. Donna or Kathy, you want to reach out to him and let him know? Kathy, could you do that?
You should come to the office. You should come to the office.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I got a call. I know we talked about this last week. We got a call from Judy Taylor. She also reached out to me again this week. Is Dinah still on the line?
No.
Okay. I was going
to
ask
you. I'll bring that up to her. The
property
looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, the entrance as well as the flagpole, and I'm just wondering if the EPOA is going to do it this year. I haven't heard anything one way or the other. I hope that they do.
I can send an email today.
Yeah, that'd be great, to John Roche's.
Yeah.
Or include Dinah, I guess, so we can talk about it. All right. And one other thing I wanted to bring up was that public hearings, as we've now just learned, Madison is going to have one on June 30th. They are now available to be had, but again, you have to maintain social distancing within the area that you're holding the hearing. So that's why Madison decided to have it at the gymnasium, because their meeting room down by the police station is probably not big enough. You don't know how many people you're going to get.
So, that's
something. Speaking of the gymnasium,
yeah.
And I've got to go. But I know last year, very early on, we reserved our spot and for our annual meeting and selected a date for the annual meeting. So just food for thought, maybe next week, that's something that we need to address.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hopefully the pandemic will be over by then.
Yeah, I don't know, can you imagine? But basically, if you can put on the agenda for next week, discuss the date for the annual meeting.
Yeah.
And making sure that all of the dates prior to that are all extremely clear, as far as number of weeks and days and postings and so make sure we alleviate any of the confusion.
Yep. Okay. Okay, great. Kathy, you have anything else?
No. Just a recap. Okay, you're gonna reach out to the folks at One Aspen, correct? They have the water bit in the basement problem.
Yep.
Okay. I'll reach out to Ian and find out if he can get up there Friday to 7B Asta. We're going to meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock at 33 Upper Lakeview. And then I'll provide a draft for the folks that are looking at East Bergamo Road, where they're off of the Class 5 road, one of the Class 6 roads.
Yeah, and I was supposed to reach out to NHMA for, what was it again?
Clarification on using district services outside of the district.
The calcium chloride, yeah.
The calcium chloride issue, yep.
Yep.
So I think the calcium chloride issue might be unique, but the fact that one entity is asking for services from another entity, and is there a way to charge them, or should it just be kind of a swap? How does the NHMA view that whole process?
Yep. Okay. All right, does anybody on the phone line have any questions or concerns? I'm going to open it up to the public.
Just Paula and Larry.
Paula and Larry, we still have you. Hopefully you're not asleep.
No.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Paula.
Nope, I got nothing.
Okay, Larry?
I'm all set, thanks.
Okay, and one more time, Kathy, you're all set?
I'm set. One thing that Larry O'Donnell missed was early on when Chris was saying that for engineering about $1 million project, 5% was very reasonable. And we were hoping that Larry could chime in on that to see if, in fact, that was true.
Yeah, Larry. Yeah, let me just dial back very quickly, Larry. We got an email this morning from Jones and Beach, and they're asking they're adding an additional contract, actually two of them. And one is for, let's see.
The pump station O&M document.
Yeah, an O&M document and then a additional engineering beyond the scope for a total of $9,000. And mm-hmm. I'm sort of surprised that there wasn't an operations and maintenance manual that was part of the original contract. And then the other one is just the overseeing of some of the construction. Chris is planning on being here maybe twice a week, which I don't think he was planning on before. So I find it kind of odd that this is sort of coming up now, especially the operations and maintenance manual to a project.
I'll take a look into that.
Yeah, that's what we told him we were going to look this over and figure out how this went bad. But
I mean, the additional time, taking longer?
The question that was sort of addressed to Larry Donato was the total typical cost of engineering oversight on a project, if 10% was in fact sort of reasonable.
Chris had it at 5%, and he said it was between 15% and 20%.
Yeah, so Chris was comparing this to other projects and saying that the amount of engineering for this project is actually relatively low, and he thought it should be it's more in line with being a little bit higher, so he didn't see this as being a significant impact to the project.
What was their original estimate for hours or cost, actually?
Well, as far as engineering, the cost of engineering to a project of this size, he thought we were actually a little bit low percentage-wise. And so he says that this additional $9,000 brings us more in line with what you would expect on a project of this dollar value.
And the $9,000 was really only half of that. $5,000 was for the engineering.
Yeah, $4,000 was for the manual, and then the $5,000 was for the additional time Chris plans on spending here.
No, I was I'm on my computer here looking for bids.
I'm
just wondering how many hours and how much.
I just didn't know what Larry's thoughts were on that because you know we were looking for some input from him early on. That's all.
Well, I can't speak to it right now, to be honest with you, but
next week.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Do a little research.
All right, we'll talk about it next week then.
Okay. All right. That was
okay.
It.
All right.
Thanks, Larry, for being in there.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got one last thing before you guys hang up.
Kelly's got to – go ahead, Kelly.
What are we doing for beach volunteers? The beach that are being used so heavily, they really look bad. They haven't looked this bad in a long time.
Okay.
And if there's trash being found in the woods, that's what a beach rig would normally take care of.
Okay. Well, we put that all on hold to try to not be overly inviting for people participating on the beach. But if we're now going to put the raft out and open the outhouses within a week or two, we will put a word out for beach making volunteers and get the first making done, which is the worst, to get all the debris in the winter off. And then see if we can get some volunteers to do the weekend raking.
Okay. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Thank you. I dropped it down earlier, but I will write it down again. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion to – I'll make a motion to adjourn at 12:08.
I will second that motion.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Great. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you still be talking about
No. It's going on the market today.
Oh, because the sun was up and now the sun is down. I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, no, it went up, and then I was told I can't have it up until it gets on the MLS list, and I still don't see it this morning on the MLS, so I got to call the realtor to find out what's going on.
Okay, that was all. Just a quick question.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'll be in the sign those checks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Donna. Thank you, Kelly.
Okay.
Bye. Follow him.
She's